hilarious because he'll be hiding behind a tree. Yeah, dude. They'll be hiding behind like trees and shit, and you'll see him like fire, like he'll be firing through the tree, try to hit him, and then you can't see the other guy either, and he's hitting him too, and you're like, oh dude, there's two hackers going against each other. It's fucking hilarious.
You didn't warn him, Bobby.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm Bobby.
That's Ray, if you remember enough. And this is the podcast where we don't take retakes, ever. No matter how bad.
Not on the intro. No.
Oh, my God. The song was playing, huh?
Yeah, and we don't hear it. Because
damn it, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
you know, while talking, I lost my Elgato.
All right, well, how let's get an update first from Emilio. How's the coronavirus going?
Right. Oh, for me.
Yeah,
I'm fine. I feel great. I'm back to 100%, I would say. Although I did say that before, and then I fucking did minimal, like wash the dishes, and then I was out for like 4 hours. So, but today, great. Yesterday, great. So I think it's finally out of my system. Yeah, it was a really weird sickness, but it's gone now. So,
you going back to work soon, or do you still have another week of it to wait out?
Yeah, another week.
Okay. You have to have like doctor's permission or something to go back, or like,
my doctor. Yeah, my doctor said he didn't want to see me until 2 weeks after no symptoms, which was technically like Wednesday. So,
do you still get paid?
Yeah, I'm getting paid. I have 2.5 weeks of pay. Oh. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of free time.
You would think, dude. You would think. But now I just have more chores somehow. Somehow more chores appeared. But yeah, I do have more time. I actually played a lot of video games today. Or this week. Ray, tell me about your life. I don't know much about it. So I know that you got that apartment like right as the virus hit. So you had no furniture. You couldn't buy furniture for a while, right?
We one of the stores we found was like Ashley Furniture, and it's like, oh, we checked it out. We ended up getting a couch and like a dining thing. And then the fridge right there, like, and Alana's there. What's up? But you're on the podcast, baby. Like live.
Sorry. You ruined it.
And that one was freaking us out because I guess Samsung was delivering everything like to everyone. And I mean, they were like canceling a bunch of like orders. So they said we were going to get a fridge like in a month. Dude. So we're like, and we had a mini fridge that her dad let us borrow. So that's what we had in the kitchen, a little fucking, I don't know, like 3x3x3 fucking. Fucking little mini. Yeah, dude. And it would be, we had just eggs, cheese, a thing of milk, and that was it. And then we tried to have no ice. Yeah. It was horrible, dude. So we ended up calling Samsung, and then within like 10 days, we ended up getting delivered, finally. But they fucked up the floor and cracked some tile and shit. It was pretty cool. But no, dude, it sucked because we ended up getting here and people asked me like, how's LA? And I'm like, I don't know, check out my apartment. You know, that's pretty much it. That's all I have. It's just these fucking four walls, dude. And we were exaggerating at first where we didn't want to go out, do anything. Well, we still don't go out or do anything. We just look at, but I mean, like now, because we would order Amazon Prime, like the Fresh, or like Prime Now for all our groceries, and everything that came in, we had to wipe everything fucking down, make sure everything was like COVID proof and I don't know, dude, COVID free. And gloves, freaking, we went all out, dude, because like we wanted to be able to go back to San Diego and visit our families, and you know, and we don't want to get our parents sick because that was like the main concern, right? Like, you know, careful with old people. And but then we ended up just like after like 2 months, like we finally like we started going out a little bit, like went to Vons and like Walmart, and you know, telling Gia don't touch shit, you know, or we'll leave you here. And it was just it was chill. Like now we're like, all right, like because like I guess I'll still walk out to the street, you know, and like go walk around because like I live in Sherman Oaks and there's like the LA River, which is just like a fucking drainage
concrete
thing. Slab. Yeah, concrete slab. Yeah, dude. So, you know, but like it has like a bike route and stuff. So I go and walk and like I just go chill. I'll go have a cigarette because they started to, you know, COVID tells you don't smoke. It's bad for smokers. And I ended up started smoking again, like more
nervousness
because I'm nervous. I'm bored. Like, what do? I can go outside and have a cigarette. Cool. And like, I'd go do that. But that's pretty much been it, dude. And reeking, I mean, using the, I'm in unemployment right now because no one wants to hire me for shit. So, because of COVID and, I don't know, like I'm job searching again. Like I just like starting like this week. I'm just like, all right, cool. Applications out there. See what's up. And I don't know. We'll see what happened, dude. But like most of the time I've just been gaming too.
Here's the irony, dude. I actually got it and it fucked up your life worse.
Yeah. Damn.
Cool. But, let's talk about some video games.
Yeah, dude. Go for it.
All right. Who wants to start? Don't everyone jump at once. Jeez. I've only got one game, so I'm saving it. Someone else go.
Okay. Dude, okay. So I was playing a bunch of Warzone, and I was playing a bunch of, and I was still randomly playing Apex or CSGO and Valorant, you know, a lot of Valorant. But I got bored.
Wait, is it true that it's 200 gigs now?
Yeah.
Warzone?
It's around 200 gigs. Ooh. It's ridiculous, dude. It's ridiculous. It's like you don't feel it, I guess. I don't know.
When these 50 gig updates come through, or these 90 gig updates, do you see the update and you're like, oh, that totally makes sense that it's 50 gigs?
It does not fucking make sense to me because it looks like just like hot fixes or like, you know, they nerf some weapons or add some weapons and that's pretty much it. Like, I don't see where these 50 gigabytes are fucking coming from. And some people, like, sometimes they'll say that, you know, they'll data mine and they'll be like, you know, inside the stadium, they're finally building stuff in there, you know, or little things like that. But I don't feel it, dude. Like, I don't know why they're so huge. And I feel like as the whole COVID thing happened, since a lot of them are working from home, I feel like since they don't have access to maybe like a lot of stuff to compress their files or something, they're just like, fuck it, let's release it, you know, and it maybe they have enough work, you know, behind it. That's why these files kept on getting bigger. But yeah, dude, my game was messed up. I couldn't play any Warzone for a while because it was giving me an error. And it just over and over and over again. I was like, I can play a game for like 10 minutes and then like it would crash. And I Googled everywhere. I contacted fucking Blizzard. They couldn't help me. And then finally, I had to like uninstall. I had to actually reinstall Windows in order for it to work. It was a super fucked up error. And then when I had to reinstall, it was like 208 gigs. And I was like, what the fuck? It took me like all night, like I don't know, like 4 hours. Because it doesn't even let you have like full speed. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, oh, I'm downloading at like 45 or 50 megabytes, you know, a second. I'm downloading at like 8 megabytes a second. So it took like overnight, dude. It was like ridiculous.
Wow. So regardless of your internet connection, it still downloads at that speed?
Yeah. It's just like, I guess the Blizzard server sucks, dude. Or some of the updates, sometimes there'll be, you know, if the updates just came out, of course you're downloading at 4 or 5 megabytes. But then if you wait for the next day to download the update, then you'll be like at 20 megabytes, I guess. It just depends how crowded their servers are.
Damn.
But I got bored of Valorant. I got bored of Warzone. It was just, Valorant was fun, but a lot of people didn't want to play because they didn't like the cartooniness to it. Which, you know, I just think about, they prefer CSGO, but then I look at CSGO and I'm like, it's not like it looks fucking real. You know what I mean? It's just, it's still a little cartoony. And then people don't like, some of my friends don't like the abilities. And I'm just like, dude, the abilities are fucking awesome. I think it adds so much more. Like, instead of having just a basic ass, like, smoke grenade, you know, your dude throws a cloud of smoke, or like a Molotov, the guy throws fire at people. I think that's freaking awesome. It's the same thing, but I started getting a little bored of it.
Is that game officially out yet?
Yeah, it's out there. You can totally play it. It's free.
And it's free to play?
Free to play.
What did they go with to make money? Loot boxes or what do they have?
No, they're not loot boxes. It's just skins, dude. But these are the most expensive fucking skins I've ever had, like I've ever seen. Because you can go on CSGO and buy a pistol skin with like whatever Valve credit or whatever the fuck Steam credit. But like, or you buy them cash. No, wait, you get them in the loot box or you pay cash for them, like in the Steam market. But you can buy a skin for like 10 cents, 20 cents, you know, like a shitty skin. But you can, but if you want your shit skinned, like you just do that or buy keys to open up brand new loot boxes. But fucking Valorant, if you want all the guns, it's like $400 or something, like all the skins for each gun. And like each skin's like $30 to $40 a skin.
Jeez. Is there any alternate way to get it?
No, dude. Like,
so it's just, that's how they make their money.
Yeah, that's how they're making their money. Yeah,
and these are just skins for guns, not your character.
No, not for your character. No. And then you don't have all the characters. Like, you start off with five, I believe. Five or six. And
you can buy them or earn them?
As you level up, as you level up, you earn them. Yeah. They'll be like, oh, you know, you can unlock a new champion. And, well, not champion. They're called, I forgot what they're called there. I call them a champion because I've been playing League. But, I guess League does the same thing with their skins. They'll have like super epic skins, and those cost like $30, and people pay for them. So I'm guessing they use the same business model for Valorant, and they're like, we got skins for guns. And dude, you're playing with people and they have those skins, man. Like, you see people with like, oh, that's a $25 skin. Like, that guy did not give a fuck and just gave him $25 for a skin. I get it. You know, I get the part where you want to support, you know, the developer for giving you like a fun game. But at the same time, it's like, it's just a fucking skin, dude. I don't care.
I don't get it that it's a skin for a gun. Like, if it's complete, like, model rework on your character, I get that a lot more. Like, in League of Legends or in, like, Smite, your entire character would be different. And even your abilities would look different because of the new skin. Yeah. It would be the same abilities, but it would look different to suit that thing. So I could see where the money or the time went in. But just reskinning a gun, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't see the value.
Well, that's what Counter-Strike did. Counter-Strike just had skins for guns and knives.
Yeah, yeah, but people Counter-Strike already had a gigantic player base going in. Mm-hmm. That wasn't their business model day one. It turned into their business model after they became free to play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, they also have an open market, too.
Yeah, but like, I guess, yeah, because now CSGO is free, right? And if you pay in CSGO, you get to play Prime matches, and Prime is the less hacker version of it, because in order to be a Prime, you have to give your cell phone number, and if you get banned, your cell phone number gets banned. So the only way to play Counter-Strike again is if you get a new Steam account and you have a completely different cell phone number. If not, you can't play Prime anymore. So now
that's
with CSGO,
pretty good.
Yeah. I think they started doing that with is it called? Either Call of Duty or Valorant. One of those two, they added the phone number thing too, like verification. I think it's Call of Duty. That's their way that they're trying to crack down on hackers. Because dude, Call of Duty got annoying, man. There's so many fucking hackers, dude. But like, exaggerated amount. And you're watching them, and it's, you know, when you play hackers on CSGO, You'll be like, ah, that shot was kind of weird. You know, he had a flick. That flick was too perfect, you know, or whatever. And you're watching him, and you're like, nah, he's not hacking. And then, you know, you really have to catch him. You have to like watch the
analyze shit.
Yeah, or like watch the replay after the match is over, where you could turn off walls or like see people like the outlines, and you see the guy aiming at him already, you know, behind the walls, and then you can be like, oh, this guy really was cheating. But you have to really analyze it, you know. And Warzone, they gave zero fucks, dude. It's just the guy would just be like, the guy's 600 yards away, and they'll just be like headshot, and people like to fucking, they'll get Rambo fucking big ass guns and just like start demolishing people, and zero fucks, dude. They don't care. It's just super funny. Like you get mad at this, like the second it happens, like, oh, it's bitch fucking hack. And then you watch like the replay and you're like, oh, he's a fucking hacker. You're mad at him. And then all of a sudden you're like, let me watch him for a little bit. And you're laughing your ass off the whole time. It's super fucking entertaining watching a hacker. And then I've watched them to where like the guy's like going all the way to like to become like to win, and then he goes against like another hacker, and then you see like it's hilarious because he'll be hiding behind a tree. Yeah, dude, they'll be hiding behind like trees and shit, and you'll see him like fire, like he'll be firing through the tree, try to hit him, and then you can't see the other guy either, and he's hitting him too, and you're like, oh, dude, there's two hackers going against each other. It's fucking hilarious.
It sucks that an entire game is ruined because of that.
Yeah, but you know they implemented the phone thing now, I guess. So, and there's been less hackers. They're cracking down on them. Like every like week or 2 weeks, they, you know, take out 50K hackers. But it's a free to play game. You know, I just start a new account. It's not a big deal.
Mm. Yeah, you know?
That's the only thing. But yeah, dude, I started playing League of Legends. That's the main one. That's fun.
You have a ton of time, dude. That's a good thing.
I know. It's such a hard game, though, dude. It's the hardest game I've ever.
Well, what mode are you playing in League of Legends?
Just straight up draft. Draft, and then I'm already level 36 or 37, so I can start doing rank now. But in rank, dude, I get owned, like destroyed, like it hurts. Like I normally don't get my ass kicked that hard in video games. You know, I'm normally pretty good at anything I pick up, but MOBAs, dude, I get my ass kicked. And
dude, it's a giant mountain to climb, man.
Oh, dude, I'm getting better, you know. Like, I have a buddy, and he's been playing leagues for 7 years now, and he's really good, and he's the one that's, like, he's been teaching me. He's been teaching me and Daniel. And we were, like, I guess we've improved a lot, you know. Like, I play mid, I play Annie, that's, like, my main, and then I'll play jungle with Echo, or Graves, or what's the other one? I just started playing with Master Yi and Fiddlesticks. I started liking jungle, but jungle's like, I think, the hardest position to play. I don't know. Did you ever play League? Any of you guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played a good amount of League. I mean, not a whole lot, but I would dip into it every now and then. And the meta will change too. So it's like, if you play jungle, it's like, you learn your route, and then, you know, a week later that could change and you need mm-hmm. to learn how to do something. So it's always constantly staying up to date with what the meta is. And it changes as you get better too, and you play against better players. So it's a never ending cycle, man.
Yeah, dude. I didn't know that part about this game, because I was like, dude, I'm doing so great. Like I'm using like Master Yi in jungle, and it's super easy, and like, and my farming's super easy. And then I play a rank game with people that are gold or higher. And like, they just destroy Master Yi, and I'm like, but I kicked the fuck out of everyone else. Like, that's like lower elo. And no, they were just like, I just started getting owned. And then my buddy's like, oh no, it's because Master Yi's more of a low level elo, but when you get higher, you have to use these kind of champions. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, bro? Like, it's such a hard game. And being able to control the camera and focusing on wards and then focusing on the map and then like looking everywhere, dude, it's other level, man. I've never. It's the funnest time I've had in gaming in a long time, learning a brand new type of game, but it's super hard, and it gets very frustrating. And like, I'll play first person shooters and my fingers feel fine, but I play this shit, dude, and like, I swear to God, I got carpal tunnel. Like,
it's different muscles, man.
Yeah, dude, I'm feeling the arthritis, dude, coming up. I swear to God.
It's different physical muscles and it's different mental muscles. I could never, like, when the closest I ever got to playing this was playing Smite, and once they started, I needed to start putting wards down and think of more than one thing at one time, that I was done. Like, I never really got good at playing the macro. I could kill what's in front of me pretty good, but thinking about things outside of my lane, I was terrible at.
Yeah, dude, I started doing little by little, or like my friend will get mad and be like, why the fuck did you do that? And I'm like, cause there's a million things I have to do, and I messed up with one, dude.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah. It's a job.
It is, dude. It is. I'm learning wards now. Wait, I actually place my wards now, like, all the time, you know, like, you know, the pinks or the free ones. And then every champion is so different. Like, I use this champion called Fiddlesticks, which is like the skinny, scary looking scarecrow. And he has like more wards than everyone else, and they kind of like move and stuff. So like, he puts up fake scarecrows, and when people see him, they'll chase him. So like, I learned to use wards because of playing Fiddlesticks. So now when I play like Annie or I play like Master Yi, I place more wards now. And then learning other champions have helped me get better with, like, because I was good with Annie, and then I started playing other champions, and then I came back to Annie, and I got even better, you know, with Annie.
Like, no, for sure. Like, the best way to learn against or fighting other people is learning those people, playing them. I lost sound.
Yeah.
No, you guys hear me?
Yeah,
I can hear you.
All right, there we go. Okay, cool. Yeah, you have to play everybody just so you know
what
the weaknesses are.
Yeah, that's which is like the worst because, okay, like if I look at the game time I have right now, it's like around 4 days that I have on League. So, you know, almost what? More than 100. I have more than 100 hours in the game already. And there's still people like, you know, like some guy will, some champion will come up and be like, who the fuck is this guy, dude? I don't know who he is. I have no clue. There's 150 champions, 120 champions, something like that.
Yeah.
In League. So I'm like, I've never seen him before. And my buddy was like, yeah, no one uses that guy anymore. That guy came out like 6 years ago. And I'm like, okay, what should I, you know, look for, you know, because everyone's different. And they'll be like, I think he has a stun. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? And then he'll be
not
like,
not even they summer. Will know.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
It's such a crazy game. It's like, it's such an old game because it's been out for, what, 10 years now or more. Just to jump on and, like, try to learn the meta for, like, the meta for each week, you know, because every patch always changes the character. And I guess Riot tends to fucking, like, they have their, like, their priority character that they always want to fix and make sure they're used with, like, the, you know, like, the championship, like, World or LCS or whatever, like, you know, tournaments they have. And then they have other characters, the other champions that just they forget about, and they're just there forever. You know, just like, you know, if you guys want to play them, cool, but, you know, we don't give a fuck about them.
Have you spent any money on it?
No, not yet. My buddy got me a skin, and he's like, here's your early birthday present. And he bought me, like, a Master Yi with, like, a lightsaber. Super cool, and it's got, like, the lightsaber sounds. It's pretty badass.
That's cool. Have you thought about it?
Oh, yeah. I want my Annie to look badass, but then I go, it's just a skin. I don't want to pay $15 for a skin just so she has a fucking Tron suit and, like, and her bare tibbers is like a badass, like, armor and shit, you know.
Here's a life rule for everybody. No buying skins when you're on unemployment. That's just,
yes.
We're going to start with that rule and then
exactly. Exactly, especially because, like, Alana's on my ass when I start buying shit, so she'll know. She'll totally know.
So, Ray, I could tell that you haven't been outside of your apartment. You just talked for 45 minutes straight.
I did.
Welcome back to the cast.
Oh, man. I miss talking to people, too. I miss seeing faces because you're on Discord talking to people. Like, yeah, cool. You know, because, like, I'm with Daniel or Ivan or whatever, or Nabi. We're playing games. But you don't see anyone, dude. Like, I don't. Like, I see people on Instagram on their stories. That's it.
So I played Gears Tactics. I talked about it originally when it first came out. I play it on the Xbox Game Pass, which is only $5 a month, and I still say is the greatest.
It's the best, gaming. Dude.
It's the best. Just this last week, after the Steam sale, Chad was like, hey, I bought Endless Space 2 on Steam. What do you think? I was like, I think you have Xbox Game Pass and it's on there. And he goes, ah, shit, I'll go return it. every week there's like 5, 6, 7 more games on there. So you just got to keep an eye on there and look for stuff.
But anyway, Fallout 76. It's like, and people just bought it on Steam because they just moved it to Steam. You know what I mean? It's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Yep. What else is on there? There's a couple other big ones.
That one baseball game that Bobby plays, the Out of the Park or whatever, that sim one that he played.
That's the sim one. Yeah, like the spreadsheet one. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that one's out there. Yeah, the OOTP 21. It's a new one.
Oh, the newest one. I saw an article about how they were saying that Cyberpunk is definitely not going to be on the Game Pass.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, no way.
That's an important thing to mention, though, because a lot of people are pre-purchasing that game. That would really suck to pre-purchase it and find out, hey, you could get it for $5 a month.
Yeah, I pre-ordered it on GOG because they're like the official ones for it, and they get all the profit. So I made sure I bought it from them because I really want to support them.
Yeah, we're owned by CD Projekt Red.
Mm-hmm. It's a $60 game otherwise, but, you know, $5. I played it initially for a few hours and gave my 2-hour review like I usually do. But now that I have time, I played this game more than I have played any game in a straight, like, session in, since the baby was born, probably. this week alone, I've probably put in 12 to 15 hours, and that's a fucking lot for me. That's a lot. And it delivers, man. This is, I don't know if it's my favorite. I got to play Xbox again. XCOM again. I bought the War of the Chosen DLC. So after I finish this game, I'm probably going to go jump into that or Shadow Tactics. And then I could really tell you guys which one I feel is the best. But this, even though it's turn-based, it feels action-packed. And that's saying something. Like, they're pushing the action constantly. Whether you go on levels that there's bombs dropping on you constantly from behind, so you have to move your front line forward no matter what. Like the Mexican would say, a huevo. You're gonna die if you don't move forward. So that just pushes you and makes you fight in a way that might make you uncomfortable, but that's the game. There's a lot of modes that are like that. There's no set paths. There's nothing you can predict. The game parachutes bad guys wherever the fuck they want. So you can't plan for anything. It's just chaos all the time, but it's fun chaos. And you get crazy bonuses for doing like melee attack, assaulting with your bayonet, like stabbing them with or chainsaw kills. Like everybody gets a hard on in your crew if you get a chainsaw kill. They're like, oh yeah, fuck yeah, dude. And they all reload because you got a chainsaw kill. And you're like, oh shit, that really fucking helps me out. So you try to get chainsaw. I have another guy, he heals everybody 20% if he chops a head off. Fuck nice. Yeah, I'm trying to chop heads off. So you're just like always assaulting. Now I've had it for 2 months. For $10, it's fucking incredible game, man, for sure. The story, I will keep saying, like, the cinematics are fantastic, the graphics are really good, and the story is good enough to carry it. Like, it's not, you're just gonna blow your head away, but it's I'm paying attention. So that's pretty good for me. I don't usually pay attention to stories. The big one here, something I've never seen before, is true boss fights. Like true giant, huge monsters that you have to fight. And, you know, you don't see these in these turn-based strategies. Usually it'll be a boss, but he'll only take up one square on the chessboard, right? This is like... it almost changes the entire game. I fought something called a Sarlacc or Marlacc, something like that. And it was, it looked like a Rancor from Star Wars. And it had a weak point on its back. And so you had to surround it and continuously shoot it and make it turn around because it was pissed off. And keep it dancing. Because if it went in one direction too far, it would stomp and kill your guys. So I've never seen that before in a game like this, and I'm a huge fan. It's a really, really good game, especially if you pay $5 for it. Oh, and if you never signed up for Xbox Game Pass, I don't know if it's still valid, but $1 will get you first 3 months.
Yeah, so I think they still have that. I think my buddy got that the other day.
If you can't afford $1, dude, let me know. I will send you $1 so that you can get Xbox Game Pass for three months.
You know, for Gears Tactics, like I downloaded it and I was like, I'm ready to play this. I want to see who wants to play with me because I thought it was a multiplayer like tactics game, and it's not. It's just single player. So I was just like, maybe I'll try it later.
I was talking to JP Diddy about that, about like why more tactics games aren't multiplayer, because you're just taking turns. You don't have to spend a ton. It, from a non-development side, it seems like it's super fucking easy, right? Like, you just have somebody else come in and make a couple, two, three, four clicks. It's not like you have to worry about netcode or anything like that, but whatever. Because it would just be you hanging out with your friends. If you could play XCOM and each one of you was one of your friends, it'd be fucking dope.
Yeah, it'd be fucking awesome.
It'd be Divinity Original Sin is what it would be.
Pretty much, yeah, just with more combat.
Yeah, way more combat. That's my dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, a little golden doodle.
I haven't seen him. Oh, it's a labradoodle, huh?
Nah, yeah, golden doodle. I guess same shit, right? I think it's just the hair.
Astro.
Yeah.
Great. He's name, like 4 months now. He's 4 months now. He's hilarious, dude. He's smart as fuck, actually. It's like the first week he was already like he was already going outside to go poop and pee and everything like after the first week. Like I got him at 8 weeks.
When I got Jocko, I heard how smart cattle dogs are, so I looked up smartest breeds. Poodle is number one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Poodle.
Yeah, but aren't they? They're kind of dicks, though.
So this guy's golden retriever and poodle. So he's got the smarts of a poodle and he's got the friendliness of a golden retriever.
Oh, that's a good
mix. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. So he's awesome. And dude, the hair, no hair falls out ever. There's no hair. There's more body hair of me in the apartment than there isn't that fucking dog.
That's disgusting, like, dude. I also played Curse of the Dead Gods. I've played this before, but it's in early access. I was a huge fan of it when I first played it, and I've touched base on it again, and it is fucking way better than it was, and I'm super excited about where it's at. It's a roguelike twin stick shooter, you know, fucking action RPG. It's my shit. But this game, when you take a look at it, take a look at the lighting effects and what it looks like. It really feels like you're exploring these caves. And there's a lot of mechanics at play here. So the first mechanic is the light mechanic, right? So you are stronger if you're in the light. So you have a torch. You can fight with your torch, but it does very little damage. You can light the torches all around the braziers or brazars or whatever we decided they sounded, whatever the words were. You can light them as you're fighting, but also, like, big bad guys will, if they swing the right way, they're going to knock it over. So you're constantly trying to keep it lit, but if you don't, you just fight in the darkness, and it's just something you have to do at a disadvantage. So that's the first mechanic. Second mechanic is that there's a madness meter, much like Darkest Dungeon. Bobby, you don't know that. You level up your madness. You don't want to. Every time you level it up, you get a new perk or quirk, something negative. It's very rarely positive. You'll get something like all your damage is now taken in gold before health. So you'll never have gold again, because every time you get hit, they take gold or the map disappears. So you don't know where you've been in the map, so you can't plan anything out, stuff like that. And it seems to be pretty early in development, like, as far as, like, all I'm basing that on is the numbers. It's like 0.0 something. So it doesn't seem like it's close to releasing. But if it released right now, I think it would do just fine. I was having a great time with it.
I'm watching the videos on this game, dude. It looks fucking sweet. Like,
it looks fucking sweet.
I normally bag on your roguelikes. I'm like, it all fucking looks the same. This one looks really cool, dude.
There's a dodge roll, and there's a super unforgiving parry. Like, it is when you're talking about, like, perfect timing, absolute perfect. I would say it's a fourth of a second, the parry. So there's, like, no forgiveness there. Having a great time. Highly recommend it. I think right now it's $17.99. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much it was when on the Steam sale or if it was even on sale, but I can definitely recommend it. Again, how I usually do early access games that I'm really interested in, I'll probably circle back at this. I'll probably delete it for now and circle back at full release or maybe in another 3 months when I remember about it.
Xbox Game Pass, right?
It is not. No.
Okay.
No, not that one.
Make sure before everyone goes and buys it on Steam.
So let's see. Project Warlock. There's a demo. So I play the demo. I'm not gonna get too much into it because you can just play the demo for free. It's one of these games that it's a modern game that's trying to circle back to old games. It's a Doom clone. You even when you walk, it's that really floaty, like, your gun sways super drastically. The way that you interact things is like space bar. It's just, you know, going back to the old school stuff. It looks hell of a lot better.
I own this game. I didn't even know I did.
You own every game we ever talk about.
Right. I've never played this shit. What the fuck is? How do I own this?
I don't know. You probably got it on Humble or something.
Probably.
Yeah, I think it was on Humble Bundle.
Might have been. It's only
$4.20 right now, after the Steam sale. So, pick up the demo. See if you like the demo. But you'll know in 2 minutes if you like this game. It's not really for me. I'm not going to continue playing it. I'm not even going to play the $4.20. But it's got really good reviews. It's like 90% on Steam. They have a bunch of eights on there from various websites. But it's just, I don't know. I think we should be going forward, not backwards, personally. But it fills a niche for some people, you know?
The game looks cool. I'm looking at the art.
It
right
does
now
look good.
And the video. It does look good. I might just download it.
It's pretty cheap, and it's usually only $12.
Yeah.
And even $12, not even $11.99. This one's been out for a while, and that's the lowest I've ever seen it. $4.20, it's a great price for that game.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're not going to like it, guys. I'm saying it's not something that I would play, but it's worth taking a look at for the free demo for sure.
Yeah.
The last thing I played this week. Oh no, Bobby, go ahead.
Okay. I should have talked about this when you when you were talking about Gears Tactics, because I also.
Oh, right.
Playing a turn-based tactics game. So the idea was that I was going to play... Last week I said I was going to play XCOM 2 because I bought that game right when it came out, played 15 minutes, and was like, yeah, I'm over it. And I always meant to go back to it. And I'll probably never play that game, man. Like, last week was the week. But Nick, thank you very much, bought me Warhammer 40K Mechanicus. And I didn't even know this game existed. It's a turn-based tactics Warhammer 40K game. Now, I'm not really super familiar with the Warhammer genre. I played one of the Space Marines games. I think that was it for a little bit. It was like real console-y, you know, just like an action hack and slash. But I got to say, after playing this game, like, I am very interested just in the Warhammer universe. This game, the style and presentation of this game is phenomenal. The soundtrack is incredible. This is... I don't know. I've kind of sat on it for a little while before I'm making this statement, but I feel like this is one of the best soundtracks I've ever heard. Like, it contributes so much to the game, and it sounds really good. It doesn't, like, overshadow the game. It complements it, and it still kind of knows its place in the background, but it still is awesome. And just the visual presentation as well. Like, you know, the Warhammer universe, I'm sure. It's just like gothic futurism, techno-futurism. So it's like, imagine medieval and futurism and like some cyberpunk in there a little bit. It's, I don't know. It's kind of like dubstep. Remember dubstep from like 10 years ago?
I still like it.
Like Alien. It sounds like Alien Transmission. That's kind of what the soundtrack sounds like. So the soundtrack it's very choral, very... a lot of organs, but it's also a little bit of dubstep. Like, it's this weird mixture. And that sounds so like edgy and childish to me. But when I listen to it and also playing the game with the visuals, it just complements it so well. It's fantastic. Now, the game itself is pretty good too. Like, I would have been fine with just another turn-based tactics game. And Warhammer does things a little bit differently enough to kind of make this a little more enjoyable than what I was kind of expecting. It's got this point system. You've got to actually earn these things called cognition points for you to do your actions. So it isn't like a lot of other TBT games where you just get, you get like 3 action points, right? And then you spend those. You can spend them on movement, or you can spend them on like helping, attacks, healing, attacking, whatever. This, like, you earn cognition points by doing certain things. And if you have enough, man, you can do quite a few things. You can do laps around the whole map, you know, with your cognition points. So I like that. I really like that.
How do you gain them, though?
You gain, well, with different abilities. So each character has a talent tree, you know, obviously, and you can talent them into like melee, into range, into there's a tree where you can get more cognition points. But, you know, if you do that, you sacrifice damage. So it's kind of like a balance. You can also get like up to 6 different characters. This is another thing that I really like too. And I've kind of seen this before. What it does is, you know, you have your typical units, right? And you can get up to 6 of them. Now, you can just like deck out 3 of them, have these guys like maxed out and three different skill trees and they're just beasts. Or you can spread it out, have a larger team, but maybe everyone's not upgraded as much. But also, you can send along these little minions who don't even matter, man. They can die. You can use them for whatever. And there's different kinds of minions that you can get. They got a different name. I'm so unfamiliar with the Warhammer 40K like vernacular. I think tech priests are what they call like the characters that you build up. But I don't know. I don't even want to try like listing everything. But I saw this once before with Fort Triumph. Remember that turn-based tactics game that it was like kind of a bit of an RPG with this fantasy story? I talked about it a couple months ago. But yeah, that one didn't have that feature where you had these minion creatures, but it did have a it did have that in like early access, I guess. Because when I read reviews on that game, it said like, oh, I really missed that feature. So I guess that was actually part of it. But I did like that. So you could have more of your tech priests and less of your minions, or you could just have like one dude. And there's a talent tree that beefs up your minions. So you could have one dude and just a whole bunch of minions. Like there's so many different ways to go about it. And the way the game actually plays out is you go through and you run through all these levels, you get these missions, you go complete them. And when you're doing this, there's like a stealth mechanic kind of called the Awakening. When you do things, it raises that awareness and you have this like global awareness meter. And when that reaches 100%, you get forced into the end boss. So the idea is to try to do as many of these missions as you can. And if you fail them, you get the awareness meter going up, but you don't get all the benefits of beating the mission. So that's, you know, kind of your punishment for failure there. So I like the whole systemic system that they had built around that. That was pretty good. The game has a lot of UI problems, a lot of UI and UX problems that like I was super surprised about. These are things where it's like you just need one person to play the game to realize that doesn't work, man. Like when you're doing your talent trees, every time you spend a talent point, it kicks you back out to like your main screen with all your guys. So if you got like five talent points to spend, you know, you have to go back into the guy, click I want that one. Also, it doesn't let you select the talent points and then lock them in. So I can't be like, well, if I want to spend all my points on this guy, what's that going to look like? You know, how far down the talent tree can I get? Because it's not actually talent points you get. It's like this resource you get. And each time you spend it to upgrade a character, then the costs increase. So it's really difficult to tell, like, I've got this many credits. How much can I actually upgrade this guy? And to find out, you actually have to spend those. So I don't know, man. It was little things like that. There's a few other examples, you know, like tooltips wouldn't pop up sometimes, like little things like that. The layout of the weapons, like you collect these weapons and items and it lists them in order that you select them. But there's like three levels to every weapon. So you got like a, you know, an arc rifle, level 1, 2, 3, you know, here's level 1, there's level 2, there's level 3 down there. It's like mixed in with all your other stuff. So it's super difficult when you're kitting out your guys to figure out like, okay, what do I want on this guy? Like it's a whole lot of like having to go back and figure out where something was. It added a lot of time to this game. I beat this game in around 20 hours. I want to say like 2 hours of that was just trying to figure out the UI.
Fucking UI. Goddamn. UIs are like this one. It's funny that twice I'm going to mention Endless Space. Like we gave Chad and I gave Endless Space 1 a good review, almost basic entirely because of the UI. The UI is incredible. And I will die on this hill. If you don't know how to make a UI, just copy a good one. That nobody's gonna say right? Anything. It's fucking it's buttons. It's buttons on the screens, guys. That's all it is. Yeah. Fucking figure it out. It's nothing frustrates me more than a bad UI.
Yeah.
I don't play many games where, because like I'm mostly an FPS like shooter guy. So like, you know, right there, you really don't need a good UI. You know what I mean?
It's yeah.
Kind of uh-huh. Basic.
Well, I mean, it depends on the game, dude. Borderlands had an awful system, at least for the first and possibly second.
Still does. Game.
I played. I played Borderlands 3, and like I can't say like, oh, you know, I stopped playing it because the UI sucked. Like that never even crossed my mind. It never crossed my mind.
Yeah. No, it's like in Borderlands, you constantly have to think, oh, how do I do this in this game? I know they do everything different. And that's not how it should be. It should be like your fingers should know how to do things automatically. It should just all be intuitive. But it's not. Because somebody wanted to be different and edgy.
Yeah. Or didn't test it. I don't know. Because like I was saying earlier, I feel like this is something where you play the game once and you realize right away there's a better way to do this. But I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
I guess like my first real UI I'm going to test out is once Baldur's Gate 3 comes out. Cause that's going to be my first strategy game I'm ever going to play. Cause I'm finally opening up to different games. And I'm excited for that. So hopefully the UI doesn't suck. And then I can actually compare with you guys now. You know, we can share notes on UIs now after that.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I mean, that's an RPG game. That's going to be pretty complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But see, like, for instance, Divinity Original Sin, I can't think of the UI, and that's a good thing. I shouldn't ever have to think about your UI. Like, I was like, is it a good? Is it bad? I can't really think. Now that you're bringing it up, I'm like, well, if I didn't notice it, it's a fantastic UI.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, if it's done right, you don't notice it.
Yeah, like when I'm playing Minecraft, I don't even notice it, dude. Yeah.
But it doesn't ruin this game. I mean, this game is pretty good, and it's on sale right now, or it was. It was on sale for around $10. Now it's back up to $30. It's still a really good game. Like I really enjoyed this. It did enough different in the turn-based tactical genre to keep me interested, and it'll probably be another year before I play XCOM 2 because of it. But
it's interesting that he... like what Nick is trying to do is he's trying to fucking get us in the Warhammer 40K universe because it's such, you know, he's balls deep right now. Yeah, he's painting fucking, he's painting armies and stuff. And he's like, oh, I have a great segment for you guys. I'm going to send you each a figurine and then you paint it. And I was like, yeah, that's going to play real good on an audio podcast, bro. But,
yeah. But I will say, like, this game definitely got me into that. And I read a few reviews on this game, and one of them said, like, I wish every Warhammer game was this good, or, like, every soundtrack should be like this for a Warhammer game. So it makes me think that this is a bit of an outlier. Like, I've played the best one, and if I'm all excited about Warhammer 40K and I go play another game, because let's face it, this Warhammer has hoarded themselves out to every single genre, dude. You can play a Warhammer tabletop game, a Warhammer RTS game, an action, like a first-person shooter, an action hack and slash. Like, there's all sorts of games out there. But I have a feeling like I'm going to be a little let down because they aren't as good as this one. And, you know, usually when I really get into something like this and I'm, like, blown away by, like, you know, the world building of a game, like, and I want to explore more of it, my natural reaction would be to, you know, what kind of books do they have for this? But I'm also worried that, like, the books are... they're going to be like young adult books. I think we talked about that last week, just about how like it's hard to read those. And also like so much of this is visual and audio too. Like, I don't know if it's going to come across in a book as well, but if there's some good recommendations out there, let me know. I think I made the mistake with Warhammer back in the day of starting it. Like most people, I think, make this mistake. Their entry point into the Warhammer universe is the Space Marines. And, you know, like the tooltip in FTL said, humans are boring and uninteresting. Like that's seriously the most boring part about Warhammer, I feel like, is the Space Marines. I don't know who these dudes were that was playing, but these guys were awesome. Like these big, like, giant space cathedrals with organ music, and they're all like tubes and light beams coming out of them. Like it was incredible, man.
I believe they're the Chaos Marines, but don't quote me on this. I'm just grasping at straws here. But there is, if you got into Warhammer 40K, it would be like getting into, like, hearing about, I wouldn't even, I'd say there's more, way huge. More lore than Star Wars.
Yeah.
Way more.
It's like,
you think? Because, like, Star Wars is huge. I mean,
but, you're talking about millions of books, dude.
Well, I mean, Star Wars is huge, but we always just focus on the same people. You know, universe, always focusing on the same people. And I feel like Warhammer kind of spreads it out more. There's always the different factions, and each of those factions have all their little stories in there. So
that's true.
Yeah.
I've never even played any, like, Warhammer games. The only one I actually played for, like, a little bit was just Vermintide. And that's because it was more up my alley, I guess. You know, first person, you know, fucking beating the shit out of people. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Rats.
Well, that was Warhammer, just straight up. That's Warhammer. So then if you put the 40K on it, that's 40,000 years in the future from then. Future. Okay. Yeah. So it's almost what Bobby said. It's like medieval and then future medieval. It's the same ship, but it's like in space with fuck it. Yeah. The other one, Bobby, that I played is there's the 4-player co-op that plays like a little bit like Leavitt. It was called Space Hulk. And that game, remember I was talking about it, Bobby? The
Space Hulk Tactics?
No. Death this Wing, is like Death a. Wing,
that was it.
Deathwing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's Space Hulk Deathwing. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
And that game was pretty good, man. The amount of just detail they put into the walls, I was just like blown away with. I didn't get too much into it because I couldn't run the one of them. But yeah, I mean, there are some good games out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just got to dig around and find them, I guess.
Yeah.
There's like an actual bundle with like Space Hulk, Deathwing, and Vermintide 2. Like, are they that similar? Is that like a, is that one probably bundled together?
Yeah, it's probably the same company that made them.
Yeah, the first one inside.
Oh well, Space Hulk is based on Warhammer. So it's a Warhammer franchise.
It's a Warhammer 40K game. Yeah.
Oh, but it doesn't have the name on it, dude. That threw me off, bro.
So I also played Devolverland Expo, and this is a very clever marketing idea. So. Devolver Digital, which is my favorite publisher, which is weird to have a favorite publisher, but whatever. I like all the games they published, and so they're my favorite publisher. They did an hour-long presentation. Very, very close to... it reminded me the most of the Game Awards, the Video Game Awards that just happened.
Is this their way of, like, since E3 was canceled?
Yes, it's exactly.
Okay, that's awesome.
It's their joke version of it, kind of. And so they have this hour-long presentation. You can watch it. It's funny. They're just, like, constantly making stupid jokes. I would say out of the 50 minutes, 10 minutes is actual game footage, and the rest of them is just doing, like, SNL skits. But they're funny. I thought I was laughing. I just didn't have time. So I fast-forwarded through a lot of it. But it was my brand of comedy, like, the chicks trying to, like... She's trying to tell you how awesome something is, and blood's just coming out of her nose and shit. It's just ridiculous. Stuff like that.
I'm downloading this right now.
Looks awesome. So then the game, which plays like a demo, obviously it's free, is that you're sneaking into E3, or it's the same entrance as E3. And going to the Devolver Digital Expo that got canceled because of COVID. But you snuck in anyway, and you can go in there and watch all the fucking trailers and basically experience the thing as one person. But there is a little bit of a game going on. There's the tiny little puzzles. There is security bots looking for you. But you, luckily, have a t-shirt launcher that you shoot fucking promotional t-shirts at, and you can knock down the fucking robots as you go around the whole thing and look at these games. And you have quests like watch this trailer. So it's fucking awesome. I thought it was a great way of doing this, especially since, you know, they usually have a booth at E3. So mm-hmm. whatever we're going to spend that money on, we'll give the money to the fucking Shadow Warrior developers and have them build this for us. I mean, I'm guessing. I mean, it felt a lot like a Shadow Warrior game, so mm-hmm. I'm guessing that's...
Yeah, it was the dev team, Flying Wild Hogs, I think they're called.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, we're checking out. Even if you hate it, it's fucking free and it looks cool. The graphics were way better than I thought they should be for something like this.
They look pretty good. They kind of like little cart, like Duke Nukem old like style, like the new Duke Nukem. Like I can't think of another game that kind of looks like that. Duke Nukem 3D.
Yeah, but it's worth checking out. And it's not on the radar, but I'm going to jump into the radar and put something on there. One of the games that they were promoting was Carry On. And Carry On, am I saying that right? Carrion. Carrion.
Carrion?
Yeah, it's a side-scroller 8-bit adventure game where you are a mutant mass of meat and you kill things. You're like the horror creature,
not the humans. You're not the hero in this.
And this is more like 16-bit. This is not 8-bit. That's some awesome lighting. It's more like 16-bit, I want to say. Actually, it's 32-bit.
Either way,
it looks nice.
As this fucking disgusting horror monster that looks like a ball of spaghetti mixed with teeth and blood. And you grow as you kill because it's adding to your mass. And when I was playing the demo, probably 6 months ago, I played the demo. By the way, almost everything I'm going to talk about here on the radar comes out this month, which July is going to be great for like indie games. The bigger you get, and then you can't fit into certain air ducts anymore. So it's almost like the stronger you get physically, the less you can sneak around. So I guess there's some kind of balancing act there. But it's great, man. And it's fucking gory and it's carnage. And like, I remember scaring this woman that was just like having some coffee in her office. And I was like, I feel bad how much I scared the shit out of this lady. And then I took her head off. But, and then now I saw a new mechanic in these trailers where you kind of like stick one tentacle in kind of like in the Matrix where they plug in to the back of their head, and you control that character, and his friends don't see the one tentacle that's controlling him, and you can like manipulate things or shoot them in the head with the gun or whatever it is. So that's going to add to the puzzle element of the whole thing. So it's basically a puzzle game wrapped into a horror movie mess of a
I like how they put it here. It's a reverse horror game.
Yeah,
It looks so neat, dude.
It is really cool looking. I hope that it holds up.
Gives me like a Stranger Things vibe too, because of the roots or whatever, you know, like they're all red and stuff.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
but it's so, whoa. I'm watching the trailer. It looks fucking awesome.
Fast forward 7 months from now, I own this game.
Actually, I already own it. What the fuck?
Well, they still have the demo up, which is cool. And the game's $20 being released on July 23rd.
Not that far away. Play the demo. You'll get a gist of what the game is about. Another one that they were promoting was Shadow Warrior 3. Bobby, you probably know more about this than I do.
Yeah, I mean, it's the next Shadow Warrior game. So, of course, Shadow Warrior was a game back in the 90s, known for being very difficult. It was like a Duke Nukem-style game, but you played this guy with the samurai sword and a bunch of guns. And they remade it, I think, 2013, I want to say, and I played through that, really enjoyed it. The second one came out 2016. I was excited for that, but it was more like a Borderlands game. So I got... I don't know. It was still fun, but I was expecting more of just like one single playthrough campaign narrative. And it looks like that's what Shadow Warrior 3 is going back to. These graphics actually look pretty good. I think they use the Unreal Engine. I remember it was the year that I went to QuakeCon that I saw Shadow Warrior 2. They had it on a big screen there, and they're showing off some video cards right before the game came out. But yeah, it's just another Shadow Warrior game. If you played any of the other ones, you know if you like it or not. But it's not coming out until next year, so we got to wait a little bit longer on it.
It's like Duke Nukem. If Duke Nukem was a he's hyper Asian, like stereotypy. He's like, I totally chopped that guy's head off. Like, yeah, stuff
his
like
name
that.
Is Lo Wang, and there's no shortage of dick jokes in it.
It's nonstop. I feel like they changed his voice, dude. He sounds like Dr. Kim from fucking The Hangover. Like, I think they changed his voice. Can we get some audio, Bobby? Can you play the trailer and get some audio so I don't sound like a crazy person?
Yeah, I mean, you guys won't hear it, but I can play.
Oh, well, the audio people will.
They're trying to break through the gates. I'll track you down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this game makes me want to watch Big Trouble in Little China. These graphics, I don't know, like, they aren't using any special engine or anything, but these games always look so good. They look better than they should be, and I'm not sure what it is about it, but...
Dwight Dynamite says it's the same guy. I guess it was just different in my head then.
Yeah, it sounds the same to me.
All right. I was wrong, as usual.
Yeah. But at least we have to wait till next week.
Yeah, it's super over the top.
Yeah, and they at the Devolver thing, they showed some more footage of it. But it's the guns are so over the top. And I always like that with first-person shooters. And when they're just like, you know what, let's just... It's cool to have the realism, military sims, and just, you know, the realistic guns. But I like when they get a little crazy and, you know, your guns shoot shurikens and lightning and stuff. Not to mention all the different abilities.
I know I played a Shadow Warrior, like either one or two, but like was it on console?
It probably was.
Because I do remember playing this, or maybe it was just very similar. But this was a while ago, and it was just super over the top, fast, like switching from like a samurai sword to like your gun, and that was really neat. But I didn't even know they were still making those. Like when you mentioned it right now, I was like, oh, really? They want a sequel?
Well, they've done pretty good. They're not like huge games, but like enough people play these games. Let me look up Shadow Warrior 2. And first of all, see how much that's going for. You can buy it for $10. Wow. It's on sale right now. $10. Usually 40. But yeah, I mean, they've got 13,000 reviews.
Oh, shit.
Very positive.
Like a million people own it on Steam.
Yeah, like it's pretty popular, especially if you like those old style games like Painkiller, if you played those back in the day.
So Bobby, I wasn't sure
they haven't brought back. What's that?
So if somebody picked up the free version, which I did, can I play with you on Steam? Do we know?
The free version of what?
I thought you guys were talking about Killing Floor 2.
No.
Oh, no, no, no. Yeah.
No, you just did that thing where you go away and you come back and you have no idea what's going on.
No, I know.
But yeah, let's talk about Killing Floor 2 because right now it is free on the Epic Game Store. There's a few other games that are free too. Who cares though? I mean, Killing Floor 2, free. You got to pick that up, man. I didn't see this coming. I had no idea this was going to happen, but I'm so glad it did. This is a game I love to get back into during Halloween and Christmas because of the events they do. And, you know, even sometimes if other people are playing it, I'll dip back into it. We got a lot of people in the community that play it. It's definitely worth picking up, man. This is my favorite wave survival game. Played quite a few of them. This is still my favorite one. It's all about slow motion and headshots. And yeah, if you pick it up on Killing Floor 2 and I load it up on Steam, then we can still play together because when you go into the game, that's where you browse for games. They have a server browser in there. I don't know if I load this game up on Epic, if I'll be able to access all my characters that I had on Steam because I played so much of this game that I've leveled up quite a few characters, quite a few classes or perks, as they call them in this game.
They were actually going to give a different game for free this week. They were going to give Conan out, the online MMO version.
Exiles.
Exiles. Yeah. They were going to give that out instead and then ended up giving Killing Floor, which like I have Killing Floor. I've never played it, but it was like, I think I got it for free on Steam on some other thing.
Well, Killing Floor like, or Killing Floor 2?
I think I have both.
Yes, Killing Floor 8, dude.
Because Killing Floor 1, I played the first one quite a bit. In that game, I always tell this story, and I'll make it quick for those who've already heard it. But that game, there was a period of time where I was trying to build a computer to put in my car. And this was like back in 2010, man, when nobody did that. And this computer was so low power and so small, and it ended up not working out. I used it as a media center, but that computer ran Killing Floor 1. Like Killing Floor 1, you could run that on like a Nokia 3300, man, 3390. Like it just ran on anything. And it was a pretty good game. And like 2 came out and it just did the exact same thing with just better graphics and just leaned into more of all of the stuff that made it great. And like it's something everybody should have in their library. The only thing is this game takes up like 40 gigs, I want to say.
Oh, okay.
It takes up a lot.
Emilio.
Yeah.
To answer your question, actually on June 30th, they posted Epic Online Service beta. So Epic Online Service is EOS integrated into dedicated server framework, blah, 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 cross-play compatibility between Steam and that. So yeah, just work.
So I'm glad I picked it up.
Yep.
Bobby, you kept mentioning Big Trouble in Little China. Waconia says he has a friend that's trying to pitch a musical. Doesn't that sound like a fucking great adaptation?
With Kurt Russell?
No, man. I bet he can sing, though. Although he's got to be 90 years old, right?
It's, dude, all these actors, dude, they're so fucking talented. Like, you only think they act, and then they're finally given that one role where he, like, has, like, some epic fucking, like, opera voice, and you're like, fuck, just happened. Like, it's just fucking awesome. Like, and Kurt Russell, he probably has that opera voice. I don't know why. I just feel like he, either that or super, like, R&B-ish, like, fucking smooth as fuck.
Trying to think if I've ever seen him sing in a movie, and I don't think I have. I'll tell you what was terrible, though, dude. I saw Ed Harris dance in a movie. That wasn't good. And you could totally tell they were trying to shoot around it. Like, it was all, like, waist-high shots. They punch into a close-up, and then, like, they pull out for, like, half a second and then go back in. It was in the
Zombieland
first...
Zombieland 2?
No. Ed Harris.
Ed Harris. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I'm talking to you. Yeah.
No, it was in the first Creepshow movie. He was in that, and also Ted Danson was in that movie right before he started Cheers. Dude, yeah, watch that movie. Holy shit.
I think he dances in Westworld. I think he dances in Westworld.
Ed Harris? Well, I hope he got better. I watched the first season. I don't think I remember him dancing. But yeah, but I don't know. I don't know if Kurt Russell can sing. Who's that? Kylo Ren. Like, he sang in Marriage Story, and there's a new movie coming out that he's supposed to be in that's supposed to be all singing. So apparently that kid can sing. He did pretty good.
All right.
That guy's
if we're talking about musicals, did you guys watch Hamilton now that it's available publicly?
Nope.
No.
It's pretty good. The music is pretty fucking good.
I'm planning on watching it, like, hopefully this week, so that I can talk about it, or we can, like, my buddy and us, we can talk it on our new podcast.
What, you have a new podcast?
What?
Bobby, hang up on him, dude. He's playing for another team.
He's hijacking the show.
What?
No. What if your fucking podcasters just slid into shot, dude, from either side?
I told him, like, yeah, you want to just drive over here, just come in randomly and be like, what's up, guys? but he was too lazy to drive. Like, he lives really close, actually. He was a friend of mine when I moved. We've been friends forever in San Diego, and he moved to LA when I moved to LA to the Artist Institute. And he went to film school. I went to audio school. We have two episodes, but we're going to release them together, hopefully this Wednesday. It's a pop culture podcast. So it's about Netflix, movies, Kim Kardashian's booty, if it comes up on, you know, something happens, or Kanye for president. Or not really, maybe some video game stuff, like, you know, like PS5, Xbox, you know, stuff like that. Not really going to hit it, video games that hard. It's more like, I wanted to show you guys a clip from the episode recorded yesterday, but I messed up the encoding or something, and I fucking erased it accidentally.
Oh, my God, dude.
But I have a
whole episode?
Yes. He doesn't know this, dude. But like, I'll fix it. Like,
is it live? Is it on iTunes?
It'll go live on Wednesday. We're working on the intro music. We have one of our buddies doing, his brother, actually. He's a hip-hop producer, so he's making the intro and, like, the outro for it. It was originally called Upload Culture. And our little model was like, all the shit that's been uploaded. I mean, your weekly dose of shit that was uploaded to the internet. And it's just, we just, like, our first episode, we just hit COVID and Black Lives Matter a lot, because that was pretty much what the internet has been happening. Like, that's all it's about, and cancel culture. Like, we spoke about that. And then at the very end, we were like, some pop culture stuff. We're like, oh, Disney. And we're like, okay. But, like, you know, we're still really trying to get the rhythm for it. But we're, I don't know. I think it's sounding, the episode yesterday, I think it was good. The first one was just, like, the quality was shit. Because, like, I had everything mic'd wrong for some reason. And then you can hear the fridge in the background the whole time. So that wasn't good. And then I finally fixed it for when we recorded yesterday. And we're going to upload it, hopefully have the website and everything up. And yeah, dude, it's a pop culture podcast. It's fun. I gave you guys I gave you guys a shout out yesterday. Oh, now it's going to be called up culture. Just cut it off.
Up culture.
We made a brand new word, dude. If you Google it, it doesn't exist. There's a bunch of like Indian people dancing. That's it. That's all I can find for it. And but yeah, up culture. It's a up culture podcast. It's a pop culture all podcast. Right. Me and cool, a buddy man. Of mine and Diego phoned in yesterday and. You know, same thing you and I did last time. We made fun of him most of the time. So,
you know. He's so easy to make fun of. Dude. Yeah,
dude. And like, we were talking about how, you know, they're renaming Splash Mountain. And what we were talking about it, the call disconnected because Diego was lagging on Discord. And then when he came back in, we're like, dude, we like bagged on him for 20 minutes and you were gone and it was awesome. And then we spoke about like Splash Mountain and he's like, what? So did you know? And he just fucking went into like all this crazy information that I had no clue about, like Uncle Remus getting an honorary Academy Award, yet we're shunning like it, but it's still like a crazy racist movie. So we, you know, we went into those topics and COVID dreams, some stuff that we been going through, which you guys check it out. So hopefully a Wednesday will be up, and then yeah, it'll be
up culture.
Everyone up culture.
Cool, man.
Up culture podcast. It'll be on Apple and Spotify.
I'm glad you're doing something with all that extra time.
Yeah, dude. It's like, it's cool.
Dude,
like,
I
when he came over, it was just like, you don't have COVID, right? Because like, I want to see people. And can I hug you? Can we
hug you? Want to touch penises? Because
seriously, I don't mind right now.
What was I gonna say? If I had any recommendation, dude, or like, do you guys have show notes?
Yeah. Yeah, of course, dude. Like, I learn from the best. Come on.
Just keep them loose, dude. Just keep them, especially for yours, just keep it. Don't do stringent 1, 2, 3, 4.
So for the first episode, we did that, but we went off on such a rant on the first thing. And then
it's
different because, you know, for PC gaming, you're talking about game after game after game and news and news and news. And we're doing like pop culture. And then we get into some like really cool, I don't know, just a really cool, like sensitive topic. And then, but the thing is, it's comedic, you know, like he's a writer here in Hollywood and he does stand up and he's way funnier than I am. And,
not hard.
Really. and he knows his shit. So like he goes into these topics, like I'm learning shit from him. And then like whatever I know too, you know, we throw it in and we're hitting these sensitive topics, but you know, we'll throw in some fucking, you know, really,
yeah,
really not some fucked up jokes.
See, that's basically what we have going on. See, Bobby knows everything, and I don't know shit. Well, I pretend not to know shit because I'm assuming that the listeners don't know shit. Yeah. So they're learning through me. They're like, oh, Emilio's an idiot, but I'm actually learning. So I'll just continue being dumb. And here we go. That's what we do.
But yeah, dude, no, like we have the notes, but like, for instance, yesterday we were going to talk about South Park from their latest two seasons, like how crazy they've gone and how they've been like doing hashtag cancel South Park. We never got to it. We never did. Like we ended up going through all this stuff and we were like 2 hours and a half and we're like, yo, it's 2 hours and a half and the hosting I'm getting, it's actually only gives us 400 megabytes a month. So we got to cut it right now. We can't go that long. But
Captain Gummy just, he confirmed, as long as you have a mask on, you can still touch penises. So
oh, okay. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I don't have Twitch on, so I can't do the chat.
Oh, they've been talking to you nonstop, dude.
No, man, I totally missed it. I mean,
where are we at, Bobby? Keep this on track.
Where are we at?
I have no idea, dude. Rocket Arena?
You just did Killing Floor 2.
Okay, yeah. So Rocket Arena.
Rocket Arena is coming out in 2 days. It is a 3v3 first-person arena game, shooter game, and it's all rockets. Like, every gun is a rocket launcher. It's a hero shooter, so you have your characters and they have their special abilities. But it's rocket jumping, it's blast damage, and the graphics are pretty good coming out of somebody who I've never heard of, Final Strike Games. Let's click on them. see what they have under their belt. I guess they worked on Apex. Is that right? No.
Apex.
Oh no, it's.
Wait, what? Sorry, I missed it.
No, no. I just clicked on Final Strike Games and it took me to EA's page. So they haven't done anything that I've seen before. But the graphics look pretty good. Little Pixar-y, I guess. There's even a Disney princess looking one. There's one that looks just like Elsa. I think she's ice based. But yeah, so it's a hero shooter with rockets. Looks fun. Very good trailer.
We Check talked about this game. I think when I was like one of my last episodes, I think
I don't remember this at all.
I've seen this before. And I don't remember. I think so. Maybe. I don't know.
Actually, I own this game.
I totally do. Dude, but only rockets? Really?
I don't know, man. We played a game, Loadout, that was heavily rocket based. Mm-hmm. And it was fun, dude. We played the shit out of the game.
There's a lot
a
of different guns in that game.
Oh. It's EA. Is it going to be on Origin? Because I still pay for Origin.
I mean, it's $30 on Steam for that price. I don't know, man. But usually the EA games are a lot more expensive on Steam, or they're never discounted. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was part of Origin Access. They still have yet to come out with that version of Origin Access that's supposed to work with Steam.
Mm-hmm.
$30 for this seems a little steep, but like I said, the graphics are there. If it's a fun game, I don't know. $30 still seems, for 3v3, seems like not a whole lot. But we'll see when it comes out. We'll see some reviews, and then we'll go from there.
Hopefully, yeah, it's on Origin Access. So if you have Origin Access, you'll be able to play it there. There we go.
Like it's live now?
No, it's not live yet. You can add to library. Preload is now available. Origin Access premiere release date, July 13th. So tomorrow, you can at 7 a.m., you can actually start playing this game. On Origin.
Cool. I don't even remember if I still pay for
it. You still have Origin?
I think I accidentally bought into another year.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did.
I accidentally did that too. I didn't want to. Yeah. I
was how they get you, dude.
Yeah, and you forget and you just get charged and you're like, oh, I don't want to. We're sorry. We can't do customer service. We're sorry, sir. We can't do shit about it. It's like, yeah, you can. Stop fucking lying, bitch. Like,
meanwhile, they're not building. It's not like Xbox Game Pass that it's. Hmm. They have a $5 model, and their model is get as many people by having awesomeness all the time every month. I feel like Origin was like, let's offer crazy good stuff right off the bat so everybody signs up for the year, and mm-hmm. Put it in the closet and forget about
it. Yeah, just forget about it, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, like Xbox game, remember this was on the podcast when I was on. There was a game called Grounded, and it was like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Mm-hmm. Like a survival.
Oh, that comes up later. I think I put it in the notes.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, I didn't. I decided not to because we talked about it a couple times already. But yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
So that one's going to be an Xbox Game Pass, and I'm super excited for that game. That actually game looks really, really, really fucking cool.
That looks good. Yeah, we talked about it on the radar a while back, but I think it's getting close to release.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I'm fucking stoked that it's on Game Pass.
Yeah, I can't wait to play that. Did you play Minecraft Dungeons? You try it yet?
No, but I was thinking about getting it on the Switch for Sam and Mia to play together because I've heard it's like a dumbed-down dungeon crawler, so I think they could have a lot of fun with that.
Well, like, Fastidious was loving the shit out of it. It's like, it's such a great Diablo clone and blah, blah, blah. You should play. And I'm like, it's still Minecraft. Like, I like Minecraft. You know, we currently have a Minecraft server, and it is ridiculous.
I've heard about the things that happen on your Minecraft server.
Oh, did you see any? They made Adelitas and Adelitas and TJ. Yeah, they made a strip joint, dude. And I'm making a subway system. Daniel made like a big ass castle. There's like an upside down Luxor, and we're having a lot of fun with it right now. It's just a bunch of 30-year-old men and Diana playing Minecraft, and it's actually been kind of fun. But Minecraft Dungeons, dude. Like I'm totally curious. Like, dude, I just to try it out with a group of friends, like. Could just do like a format and just like try to go through it like in the hardest setting because I doubt it's fucking hard, you know what I mean?
From the reviews it was like this is a solid dungeon crawler, nothing new, but it has the IP so people like it. I'm sure it's a good game. That's what the reviews say.
We should totally try.
The next one is Neon Abyss. Hey guys, have you ever heard me talk about a roguelite action platformer before, because here's another one. But guys, it's not like every roguelite that's announced I talk about. I only talk about the ones that only about the ones that actually grab my attention. And if you play some of this video, Bobby, you'll be able to see. It really... Here's things that I really like about these games. One, it's important to me that you can see the item you pick up on your body. I don't know why that's important. But like in Binding of Isaac, whatever mutation you can pick up, like if you have bloody tears, you have bloody eyes. And it just goes on and on and on. And your character ends up looking crazy at the end of it. But then another one that I like is synergies. So like if you have 200 items and you get four specific ones, and it doesn't even seem like on paper they would work together, just to look, see what that looks like, that's what this game looks like it has in droves. If you just look a little bit at the guns that he's shooting, you can tell that it's all about the synergies. You know, you grab this power up, then that power up, then that power up, and it's all random, right? Who knows what you're going to end up getting. If you just watch the trailer, I can't explain it to you, but it seems like this plasma weapon that he's shooting modifies itself to all these different characters. It's almost like I'm hoping. I can't base any of this. I've never read anything about it, but from what I can see, that's what it's doing, and that's what I love about these games. Anything from rockets to shotgun mode to bouncing bullets to spread shot, and it just goes on and on. Add fire, add water and fire, what's that do together? And then you just keep, that's what I love about game, infinite possibilities.
It's so and cool. So, it's like, it's so cartoony yet so fucking gruesome. It looks really neat. I love the colors and the music.
Yeah, dude, the music, it brought it together really good, it really well. And this is what you have to do in these, you know, I haven't brought it up yet, but 3 weeks ago a dev team sent me a game and I played it, and I still mean to review it, but I keep forgetting to put it on the show notes, and I'll do it next week, I guess. It is like the third week now, because it was a very forgettable action roguelike. Like, it's a super crowded field now. You can't just be doing what I was talking about. You have to look great. You have to sound great. Or at least do something so out of the box that nobody's done it before. And if you're not doing any of those things, you're going to fall by the wayside. So at least this game is like visually impressive right off the bat. So, and I'm even excited to play it. I just want to see what I can make that gun do. You know what I mean?
Mm.
All right. Looks good. Comes out July 14th, and there's a demo of it. No price on it yet, even though it's coming out in just a few days here.
I'm guessing $14.99, and my high buy maybe $21.99.
Yeah, I wouldn't think this would be over $20. Seems like a $15 game.
Yeah, I want to say $14.99 or $19.99. But you never know. It's fucking Team 17 as the publisher, so they might go a little bit more expensive to $29.99. They're the Worms guys, right?
Yep, those are the Worms guys. All right, before we forget, we had a subscription earlier in the show, Darth Duck, 11 months. Thank you very much, man.
Thanks, homie.
Hopefully you're still around. That was a while ago, but thank you.
Fucking Darth. I haven't game with him. We played, last time I played with Darth.
Borderlands?
No, we played Streets of Rage 4. Did you guys try it yet?
Yeah, I wasn't a fan, man. Personally, it got really good reviews. I feel like they were playing fan service to people who used to play it.
Yeah. I thought it was cool. We got to a certain part where like it just got really fucking hard, and we died twice, and it was just like, all right, cool. We'll never play this fucking game ever again.
Yeah, but, exactly. That said, me and Chad did play like 3 hours straight. Or maybe even 4 hours, and we got like almost through the whole game, I feel like. And then, yeah, same thing. We died a couple times, and we're like, yeah, well, that was enough of that.
You know? Yeah, no, you get over that shit.
Yeah.
All right, next up we got Death Ground. This is a solo and co-op survivor horror game that throws players into a desperate battle for survival against deadly AI dinosaurs.
Bobby, if God or something came down and was like, hey, secretly make a video game for Bobby, this is pretty much what I would build for you. I don't know if it'd be right, but first of all, it has dinosaurs. Second of all, it's co-op. Third of all, it has classes, so everybody has their own job. I don't know how many classes. Yeah, I don't know how many classes there are or what their jobs are, but it has that too. Mm-hmm. Also, it's not an action. It's not like Left 4 Dead where you're killing hordes of dinosaurs, because that would be, first of all, cruel, and second of all, kind of weird killing all these dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. It's from what I can, what I gather, what I've seen, what I've read, it's a little more like Alien Isolation in co-op. So you're trying to get objectives done, like you're trying to reboot the generator, but it takes multiple steps, and you got to do all that without getting caught. But there's three of you doing it, so potentially there's a lot of good here. I'm hearing all good things. Except for Jaw Drop Games, haven't heard from them. They made a game called Gun Jam. Let's see how Gun Jam did. Also not out. So, so yeah, we don't know. But well, it looks like they have a lot of good ideas.
Is it like maybe it's like a GTFO kind of type with like objectives and roles and stuff like that too?
Could be.
Like, it's scary as fuck. Because like, I'm gonna get creeped out because I just watched a trailer and just hiding from like fucking velociraptors, dude. That's fucking awesome. It just reminds me of Jurassic Park and the kids in the kitchen, you know, and like seeing the reflection of the velociraptor, and it just fucking crashes into like the fucking whatever countertop or whatever. So awesome.
And one of the players has a kind of like a movement scanner, a la like Alien. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, a lot of ideas, but. Until I see it in front of me, who knows? But Bobby, tentatively excited?
I mean, it looks good, but it all depends. It's a lot of good ideas, but
exactly.
That's the easy part.
I'm seeing Stomping Lands all over again, right?
Oh, God. let's not even curse it like that.
As long as it's not Dino Crisis, dude. Seriously.
Oh, yeah, that famously bad game.
It did well. I feel like financially it was a success. No, well,
you could buy it for like a dollar, and it kind of became a meme to get it and play it. It actually, I don't know, it wasn't the worst game in the world, but it was it was just kind of one of those games everybody latched onto to shit on. But this does not have what's that?
Any chance you're gonna back this, Bobby,
on Kickstarter? I don't know, possibly. Let's take a look at their Kickstarter page here.
Yeah, let's do that.
1400 and 19 backers. They've reached half their goal. Their goal is $100,000. They've got about 50,000, 25 days to go. So they're on their way.
I'm not going to help, but they're on their way.
I don't know, man. There's no shortage of good games to play right now. So, and I'm not going to hold my breath. But they're playing with some good ideas here. All right, last game.
The special character classes, dude, they look like a bunch of fucking hipsters, dude. Like, look at the guy with the rifle and just the cargo shorts. And the other chick's got a beanie, and like, I swear, I thought they were flip-flops for a second, but never mind, their shoes. But I don't know about that, dude. It looks kind of weird. Just a dude with a beard and a little rifle. Just, I don't know. I don't trust that guy to be killing fucking crazy-ass dinosaurs, dude. I'm not down.
Fast forward to our Christmas episode. Bobby's like, game of the year goes to Death Ground. I didn't see it coming. I did not support them in the beginning, but now they support me.
That would be quite a twist. I'd be amazed if that game came out this year, honestly. Like, that doesn't seem like it's like coming out anytime soon. Seems like a 2021 release.
It All sounds right. like we're shitting on them. We are not shitting on them. It's just that we've seen this before.
Yeah, I've got a real wait and see attitude towards a lot of these games.
I can't remember the last good fucking dinosaur game, to be honest. Anything. Like, when was the last one where we were killing dinosaurs? I don't remember. I can't think of
any. It's animal cruelty these days, dude. You can't kill dinosaurs.
You can.
They're extinct. You can't kill them more. You can't extinct them more.
Did you ever play Turok? She was awesome.
Oh, there we go. Ark.
Oh, Ark.
Ark, yeah. Survival Evolved.
Ark, yeah. I don't like that game.
What was the simulation game where you build the dinosaur theme park?
That was just Jurassic World.
Jurassic World? Is that what that one was called?
Yes, World Evolution.
Oh, yeah, Evolution. That's what it was.
I forgot. Did you play it, Bobby?
No, I haven't.
I have a free copy if anyone wants it.
I might check it out eventually. Like what I heard about that game is it's really good, but you reach a point where it's just like you're completely over it, which, I mean, is fine. You know, if you can get a good 20, 30 hours out of a game and then, you know, complete saturation, that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because I got it in the Humble Bundle, but I already owned it. So I have a free copy if any of you guys want to try it. Let me know.
All right. What are you guys' Dave just mentioned it. What's your interest level on Horizon Zero Dawn coming to PC? I've heard nothing but good things about this game. Everybody seems to love it. And I didn't see it coming to PC because I believe...
Because Sony's such a bitch on that.
Yeah, yeah. Sony's usually such a bitch about third-party games, but here it is. Anybody going to play it?
I own it on PlayStation. I've never played it.
All right, dude.
I just got to stop. Maybe one day I'll play. I bought it at GameStop. It was like $5 like for the fucking Blu-ray. $5. I got it. And it was like the definitive super edition with all the DLCs and shit.
I remember Chad got it like on Friday, and he beat it by the time he had to go to work on Monday. Like, he just stayed up all, like, you know, one of those fucking crazy times.
It's supposed to be really good. Put it down.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a really, really, really great game. Every person I've heard speak about this game has been like, you're missing out. And that's why when I was at GameStop, I think I was just buying something super random. And I saw it there and I'm like, fuck it. You know, I'll buy it. And I remember I got home, installed it, watched the intro movie in like 4K. And it was like, dude, it looks fucking awesome. Like, PlayStation games just look so much better than like most like PC games. I don't know what it is. Like God of War 4K, like on your TV, looks amazing. I still haven't
seen
it.
Excuse me, sir. Do you forget where you're at right now?
Just saying, sometimes fucking console games look really, really fucking great. But because you know Diego the other day, he bought the best AMD graphics card they have right now, like 57 XT or whatever. I forget which one it is, the best AMD one. He bought it and he put on Call of Duty, put in like the highest settings that would let him on his monitor, and he was just like, he was like, I don't feel it, dude. Like it doesn't look as crazy as like when I was playing on my Xbox, you know, Xbox One, whatever. And I was playing this game on 4K, and I'm like, what's different? You know, it's like there are PC games that have great fucking graphics. And they, you know, and the better graphics card doesn't improve your graphics; it improves your frame rate and how to play the game. And I guess he didn't understand that concept, and he returned the GPU because he didn't get it.
It's not just that too. It's like these consoles have. It was 8 years since the last one, right? So they've been getting every fucking square inch of potential out of that, of that hardware for 8 fucking years. And so they know everything. When you make a game for PC, you have to make it for every video card, every NVIDIA card, every Radeon card.
Yeah.
You need it to work on everything. So the final product's going to suffer because it has to be played by somebody's potato fucking PC, and it's got to be played by Captain Savaho, who buys every single hour, spends $10,000 on his rig. Yeah. So anyway, there we go. Yes, I want to play this game, actually.
Look better on PC than it does on PS4. Like, I'm tempted to see how this is going to look. I'm tempted to see how Death Stranding is going to look next week, too, when I think Death Stranding comes out next week or the week after on PC. Mm-hmm. So it looked amazing on PlayStation 4. I bet it has to look way better on fucking PC with the highest settings and, like, even more. Like, you can play it on your monitor and, like, even wider.
It says ultra wide support now.
Yeah.
Same thing with Death Stranding. JD Construction, which JP Diddy or John or whatever you want to call him, Fantastic game. I played all through it and the DLC. Very tempted to play it again on PC. So that's how good again. He's, you know, he'd be down for playing it even again. So it's it's a good game. And so I might be taking a look at it. Hey, Sony, if you need a little publicity, come talk to Daddy. Come talk to Daddy.
Well, August 7th, $50 is what you're looking at for Horizon Zero Dawn.
Ugh, $50, dude. I don't know. I got it for, I'm telling you, like $4.99 at GameStop, dude.
You always pay a premium when it comes to PC.
Man. I'm writing a very viciously worded email to Steam right now, talking about Ray. My friend Ray picked up this game for $5 on the bargain bin, and you're charging me $50 for it. The next game up is Liberated. I think somebody probably put this up here, Bobby, because you said that you like games that look like comic books. Uh-huh. And holy shit, does this game look like a comic book?
Yeah, we talked about this one before.
Yeah, but back then, I believe there was only a little bit of video, and it showed there was just that train scene, if I remember right. And we weren't sure if it was like puzzle or whatever, but now we can see that there's definitely shooting in the game. It almost looks like a 2D action platformer, maybe. It looks a lot like Shadow Complex. If you ever played it before, where it's a 2D field, but a 2.5D, and then the mouse aims at whatever you aim at. So, but it looks like a noir comic book, and it looks fucking awesome.
Literally the exact same thing we said last time we talked about this game. Yeah, right down to the Shadow Complex. No, there was one trailer. Really? They had one trailer. They did show gameplay. We saw shooting. It was in comic book panels, and there was like the blap, blap, blap coming from the gun. Yeah. I mean, it looks like
a great game. I don't remember any shooting last time.
It was, because it was part of that Steam thing where people were streaming all these new games. There was like a ton of new games that were coming out, indie games, and people were streaming them. You couldn't get the demos just yet. But yeah, you could watch somebody play this game.
We talked about it. Gotcha. I remember.
Mm-hmm. I do not remember.
It was about three months ago. It's all right. Yeah, it's a good reminder because the game's coming out July 2020. So within a couple of weeks here, right around the corner. And it does look good. No price yet. But if I had to guess, $20, maybe. I don't know. I'd say $20. I can't imagine that there's too much content here. All right. We ready for news?
Let's do some housekeeping. Is there any more thank yous you got to do, Bobby?
No, that's it.
So, DLGCon 2020, we are just about sold out. We went down to a smaller house, and there's only one room left. That room is the Pretty Princess Pony Room.
I saw the room today. I was laughing my ass off. It's like pink and beautiful and dolls. Like it's clearly. I feel like that room for me. Like I feel like I should stay at that room. Like I want you guys to walk in and see. I'll be like, hey,
hello,
what's up? It's fucking awesome, dude.
Remember, this is for four nights, right? The last room. This is the last. I think it's a queen bed in there. It is pink. So we took $50 off, but this last room, we don't need it. It's game on. We already bought the house. It's good to go. It's going to happen. You're only going to help us out by coming out and supporting us and getting the last room. We are going to be playing board games, video games, Smash Brothers, fucking Quiplash, booze. There's a pool. You could get all this information on Discord if you click on DLGCon 2020. You go there, you can find the link to the house. And I heard the last room is $450.
Sorry. I heard JB Diddy was practicing for to show us another fucking Beat Saber fucking crazy dance off.
Dude, how impressive was that, dude?
I know, right?
Yeah. He, you ever seen a? You said ever ever seen a 275-pound man play expert mode on Beat Saber? Fucking come to TwitchCon 2020, Ben. You're going to see amazing things. But yeah, it's a good time.
Well, we shouldn't call it TwitchCon because it's actually not going to coincide. Yeah, it's not going to coincide with TwitchCon anymore. It's going to be in November.
It's a Freudian slip, man. It's because, yeah. Anyway, so I believe it's a queen bed, and so you could fit two people in there. $450 for the four nights. And yeah, it's going to be an amazing time. So there's one or two slots left, however you want to look at that. If you're interested, again, join our Discord and go to TwitchCon 2020. DLGCon 2020, sorry. DLGCon. Yep. Now we can get into news.
All right. Time for some news. We've got a few articles here. First one is from PC Gamer. Sony invests. Okay, you can't click and drag tabs between a normal window and incognito, apparently. Anyway, Sony invests $250 million into Epic Games. So this is an article on PC Gamer, and it talks about Sony buying into Epic, which, you know, it's interesting. Tencent did this back in the day, of course, at a much better time, and they probably made a ton of money off it. But it looks like Sony wants a piece of that, too. They've made some statements about it. Basically, they look forward to making content with Epic, gaming, music, and video. So this got me thinking. I am so surprised we have not seen a Fortnite movie yet. It seems like that would have happened by now, but maybe that's something in the near future.
But Fortnite's dying, man. Like, I sadly introduced, not sadly, but like I introduced Fortnite to Gia. She's 8 years old now, and she loves it, you know, but you know, there's a part of me that goes, she's eight, she shouldn't be like killing people right now. Like, she went from Minecraft and scene stuff and Animal Crossing to like blah, 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 sniper rifle, you know. It's just but then, you know, I kind of wanted that a little bit, so like, oh, let's team up, you know. But we were like, we played duos like here and there, and the server, dude, that was it, like, it's 100 people. I want to say 80 to 90 are bots, and there's like 10 people on there, like on your server, that are actual real people. Like, you're getting all these. Like,
I don't think they're bots, dude. I think they're 8 year olds.
No. Like, no, they're bots. Like, the names don't even make sense. You know, it's like Snazzy Shark 656773334444, and then you see like a world symbol with it doesn't show PC symbol nor, you know,
8 year olds, dude.
No.
Do you want to know what Mila's fucking screen name is? It's like Smarshmallow.
It's Marshmallow. Yeah, on Roblox. Yeah. Like, that's what they should be playing all the time. But but no, like I see the it next to the name, it'll show you what console they're, like, if they're either playing console or PC. If they just have a world, that means that they're bots. I think that's what it means, because like, they're horrible, dude. But then some bots are super OP. Like, they're like ridiculous. They'll see you and just instantly headshot you in some crazy shots, and that pisses me off. Actually, like, we've gone close to like, oh, you know, we're about to win, sweetie, yay! She's all excited, and then some bot just jumps midair, goes back, and just kills me, like, super ridiculous. And you know he's a bot. The game's over, and it's like, oh, it's a bot one, and you're like, fuck.
I just lost that?
Bot. No, it doesn't say the bot one. It says, it'll show a really dumb.
You're worse than a robot. Congratulations.
Seriously. No, but they're really dumb names. Like, they're super. It's like Cricket Soldier, you know, like something like that. They're really, really dumb. Yeah, you know, like gamer handles. So, yeah.
I think you're over complimenting how good 8 year olds at naming their characters are.
I feel like actually I'm going to, like, number of bots in Fortnite. Like, it's just 89. Bots? Turns out the game had 89 bots and just 11 human players. See, like, people have been noticing that in the game. 89 bots have been, like, I'm not saying every game, right? But people have gone in and they found out that it was just bots. And then when you're in the loading screen, the people that are real, they're running around throwing stuff at you, you know, like, and then the bots are just standing there, like, ready to the game start, you know what I mean? It's just, you know, they're bots. So, like, it's, game's kind of dying. I'm like,
I don't think Sony's trying to get a piece of that Fortnite action. I think they're looking to do something else with Epic. Like, they're probably going to create something new.
They should.
Maybe not a new game, but something new.
Their first party games on fucking Epic. I will start two more accounts on Epic. Like, if I could play The Last of Us 1 and 2, if I could play God of War, Spider-Man, I would be super stoked. I've always wanted to play those games.
You could have played Spider-Man with PlayStation Now. They were doing, like, because of COVID, they were doing a special where, like, they were letting you stream newer PS4 games on your PC. So hundreds of PS4, PS3, PS2 games, and they had...
What's that going to cost me?
$9.99 a month. $9.99 a month, or you can pay $59.99 for a whole year. And they have, the Dark Souls game. But, like, you're playing, like... from a PS3 perspective, right? From a PS2 or a PS4, but they had Spider-Man. Diego played Spider-Man the other day.
That way,
and he was loving it.
Out of all those games that I just mentioned, that's probably the one, the least important one, but I do.
Right now, they have Control. Like, Control's supposed to be a great game, and it's available until August 31st. Anyway. I know, but you're only paying $10 and you can play Control.
Oh, gotcha.
You
know what
I mean? So... But I think they took away Spider-Man. They did. Let me see. Spider-Man. Yeah, they took away Spider-Man already.
Too bad.
Yeah.
I did not mention that DLG Con will be on November 12th. We moved it up a few months, actually. So that gives you more time to plan and figure out whether or not you can come down from Canada, Sniper. God damn it.
It's not that far, bro. Just fucking drive.
No, it's not that. They legally cannot cross the border.
Oh, COVID? Because of COVID?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. That's good. Because they'll just bring more COVID over.
That's what they're worried about.
I know, right? They're like done with... Like, I think Canada is one of the best ones right now with like the least amount of cases.
Yeah, yep. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised, though. All right, next article is Ready Player 2. The sequel to Ready Player 1 will be out in November. This is referring to the book.
Oh, the book. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Ernest Cline announced 2 years ago that he was working on a sequel, and it looks like it is coming out right around the corner. You can actually pre-order it on Amazon right now, both the audio book and the hardback or paperback.
Bobby, did you read the book?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, someone asked us about this. I think Cricket Soldier asked us about this in listener questions last week about the movie.
Yeah,
we talked a little bit about it. So, yeah, I mean, I will probably read the book, but my tolerance for young adult fiction has gone way down, dude. I read those big boy books, man. Big Russian novels, you know what I'm saying? But actually, you know what I'm reading right now is Starship Troopers. And I've never read that book before. And I know that's Chad's favorite book.
Yeah.
And I know he was very upset about the movie. And the same thing is happening to me as when I read Dune. Because the Dune movie that David Lynch made back in the 80s, not a lot of people liked that one. But when I read the book, I'm like, I actually get this movie now. Like, I totally get it. And I enjoy the movie so much more. And I mean, I'm only about 6 chapters into Starship Troopers, but I am already finding new appreciation for the movie. Like, I don't think they executed like right on the money what they needed to do, but I definitely see how they tried and what they were going for. And it is kind of nice to have the visual with it, but yeah, I'm enjoying that one.
On Reddit, there's a subreddit called Movie Details. And one for that one was that, so he was trying to push that co-op shower scene, right? Where everybody's naked, the boys and the girls are naked together. Mm-hmm. And I guess the actor said that they would only do it if the director directed it naked. So he took off his clothes and he directed it naked.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Paul Verhoeven's pretty crazy. But in the book, it's not co-ed. You said co-op, and I almost said it too, but it wasn't co-ed. There was no women in training.
Oh, yeah. I feel like Chad's Ender's Game was that book.
Yeah.
Well, Starship Troopers.
What's crazy, that book was written in 1959. I mean, I guess Dune was written in the 60s, but a lot of these a lot of these books that, you know, we've seen the movies for them now, but like a lot of these books were like super old. Crazy. But yeah, Ready Player Two, I will probably check it out. I really wonder where they're going to go with it, because, you know, the first one, they really kind of wrapped everything up. It's like,
yeah,
problem solved. You know, what are they going to do? Like, is the evil corporation going to rise again and they're going to have to fight back? Or I don't know. I don't know, man.
Bobby, mortgages need to be paid, Bobby.
Yeah, that's true, man. This guy has got it made, man. He bought that DeLorean. Like, he has been spending his money like a nerd would. Like, if you
maybe that's the problem.
Maybe. I don't know. It doesn't seem like this guy has any short. I don't know what they paid to get that movie made. I mean, they had Spielberg directed it, made a ton of money. Like, if he took any points on the back end, that guy's made even more money than he did off the book. I'm sure he's doing fine financially. He did write another book after Ready Player One, and it didn't do well at all. Like, it did pretty terrible, and I can't remember what that one is.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah. All right, next article. That article, by the way, was on PC Gamer too. This next article is from Eurogamer.net, and yes, I will accept all cookies. It says, The Sims is getting a reality TV show.
What does this even mean?
I know, dude. Let me explain. I read the article. I'll play the trailer here. There is a trailer. You can check it out. They're going to have people playing The Sims 4. Hopefully they get all the thousands of dollars worth of DLC. And it's going to be kind of like a challenge game show where they have to make certain things happen. And then contestants get eliminated each week. So it's like a competition. Let me roll the trailer here so you can see, but it's a bunch of YouTubers, a couple of like low level celebrities, I guess, that are going to be part of this, but you can see a lot of people playing, a lot of people in person, playing the game and working with each other. So yeah, it's set up kind of like a game show competition. But I don't know, man. This is going to be on TBS, by the way. This is going to be on cable television.
So it's like whoever can make the coolest stuff or get their character.
They're going to have certain objectives. Like, you need to make these two people fall in love or something. I don't know. I'm just guessing here. But they're going to have certain objectives that they need to make happen. And I guess it's going to be like a race to see who can do it or who can do it the best. And maybe there's judges. I don't know. There's a lot to be determined here.
If you talk to fucking 18-year-old Emilio and you were like, hey, there's going to be a game about video games. There's going to be a show about video games, and they're going to compete to see who could do the best. 18-year-old Emilio would have been like, oh my God, this sounds like the greatest thing. You present it to me right now, and my heart just sank in my chest. Like, I'm just saddened.
Dude, don't you remember there was like a Nickelodeon game show? I think it was Nickelodeon, where they like, and at the end they had to play like an arcade game. Remember that shit? That game was fucking awesome. That was a game show about video games, and it was my favorite.
You're talking about Johnny Arcade?
Was it called Johnny Arcade?
Well, Johnny Arcade was the one that at the end they would go into the video game, like they were doing like some cheesy 90s green screen. They would go
and
into
they
the
would jump
game.
Right
they and jump and duh.
Yeah,
yeah,
I remember
and,
that.
Okay, and if they won, they would get to run through this gauntlet of video games and just grab all the video games they could get, throw it in the back, or they'd stick it. They'd have these like bike helmets and pads that had Velcro, and they'd stick the games to that. And whatever games they got at the end, they got to keep.
Yeah. So yeah.
That might be one you're thinking of.
There was, back in the day, there was Starcade, like old school one. But then there was Nick Arcade. I think that was the one I was talking about, Nick Arcade.
Yeah, maybe, because Johnny Arcade's pretty old, man. That's like 1990.
Yeah, because in Nick Arcade, I'm looking at the screenshot, and they had like they had a door, and it would open up, and they would go inside the video game, and it was some really cheap like green screen thing.
Oh yeah, Legends of the Hidden Temple. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun. But like a Sims game, it's like Sims was fun. I always enjoyed it. I played a lot of it when I was a kid, you know, but I think I spoke about this too before, but there was like a remove the sensor thing patch or whatever, like a crack or whatever. You put it in the file and it would remove them, and there was like nothing. Like there were no penises. There were no nipples. Like,
just
I was
mannequins.
Just curious because I was because I was like 10 or something whenever it came out. I don't remember, but I wanted to see that stuff. I was probably 15, so I was a little bit more perverted. I don't know. Not sure.
Yeah. I don't know how this show's going to do, man. I don't know if that's something I would be interested in watching, to be honest.
Dude, what? I love Emilio's webcam. It's like a bad episode of Hoarders. It's just, it's like instead of, you know, buying the fucking, like, like storage room wars. But instead of like buying the stuff and trying to sell it, he just lives in that storage room. Like, that's what it looks like.
There's a lot of stuff in there, man.
So much shit in there.
All right. Next article. This one's coming from Forbes. 3 Ubisoft executives resign following widespread harassment allegations at the publisher. So I think this came up a little while ago where there were these allegations at Ubisoft, and after investigating, it was like, wow, this goes really deep. So 3 very high up people resigned. One of them, Sergey Haskowitz, I don't know if that's being pronounced correctly, but he apparently was a really important person. He was the CCO there, and he was like the guy who greenlit all the projects there. And him quitting was quite a shock. Jason Schreier, he now works for Bloomberg. The guy, he used to write articles for Kotaku, wrote Blood, Sweat, and Pixels. He commented on Twitter just saying how crazy this was, because he did not see this coming. And he's been interviewing lots of people that worked there, trying to get the full story. And is supposedly going to have a big tell-all article coming out soon that will shed some light on this. But yeah, man, I feel like this is a story we've been hearing a lot.
Yeah.
So, Bobby, do you know if Jason Schreier is like doing his own thing now? Or is he not under a banner of somebody else now?
No, he works for Bloomberg now, but he's still like writing another book and still doing other work. But yeah, he's officially with Bloomberg.
Gotcha.
It'll be interesting to see what he has to say about all this, because it sounds like this is even though these are people that you may not really know, like this is a pretty big deal. They're kind of cleaning house over at Ubisoft.
Good for them.
Yep. All right. I believe that's all we have for news here. So it must be time for listener questions. Now, unfortunately, I don't have a layout for 3 cameras for the listener question segment, so you won't be able to see them. I'll just have to read them. First one comes from M. Pilaf. Emilio, did you get any cool gifts for your birthday?
He's saying that because he sent me some cool gifts.
And yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Fucking Nick.
You don't even know that, dude. Like, you knew it. You know, you knew it in your heart. Yeah. He's like, what's your favorite game? And I was like, a game series. And I was like, well, I don't really have a really famous game. He's like, give me an IP, fool. And I was like, oh, okay. So I told him Witcher 3 is probably my favorite. I keep looking up because I'm a rabbit. Witcher 3 is probably my favorite game of all time. So he bought me, I'm not sure what his name is, but he is the leader of the Wild Hunt, I'm pretty sure, or the side guy. Of the anyway, it's a very cool figurine.
Nick paint that himself?
He did paint it himself.
Wow,
it's pretty cool. But he also got me a flask, with the Witcher symbol on it, and the 2 shot glasses that it comes with also have the Witcher symbol on it, so that is really cool. And I was telling Sam, I was like, Sam, like, getting people flasks is super cool and everything, but like, who carries a flask anymore? Like, you're really hardcore alcoholic. And she's like, we always sneak alcohol into the movie theaters. I was like, son of a bitch, I'm in. like, you're right. That's exactly where I'm going to use this.
You know, so, I always used the flask. I always had one, you know, just in case. And sometimes I would just
alcoholic, dude. That's
I know.
That's my point.
But I lost it, and it had like my initials on it because it was like a gift from like my dad. It had like my initials on it, and I was like, "This is so corny." But like, it's a big flask and it's nice and fancy, so fuck it. But I ended up losing it. I left it somewhere, someone's house or some shit, and it's sad. It's very sad. But
sometimes
you need a flask.
I got a leather wrapped fucking Witcher one. You can have my old shitty one that I had. So
all right, I'm down. I'll be there. I think I might go to, I'm not 100 yet, but I think I'll be in San Diego for my birthday. So if you're COVID free, I'll cruise over.
This house is dripping with COVID, dude.
Fucking have that hazmat soup team come in and fucking clean everything, dude, with the fucking sprays and shit.
All right, next question from Neo Reloaded. If you could have sex with one female video game character, who would it be? For me personally, it would be one of the nurses from Silent Hill.
I hope that's a joke.
What? Okay, when I was watching the movie and they're pretty hot.
They look good in the movie.
Fucking hot. Miranda has always been super hot from Mass Effect.
Mm-hmm.
She's always been like incredibly attractive. Although, like, if I was gonna go with like any female, I would have to go with something that you can't get on Earth, right? So I'd probably go with the blue chick from Mass Effect, because aren't they like?
Hey, Leanna.
Not that she's hot. She's not hot.
Leanna. What's her name?
She's not hot. What I'm saying is, what kind of hole she got? You know what I mean? Like, what's different about that?
What kind of hole?
I don't know, man.
You have three assholes? What?
Bonus!
Oh, my God. It's like, blip.
Yes, I would. Clown lotion. Yes, Yennefer is a fucking smoke show. I agree. Yennefer is such a smoke. There's a Witcher. She's such a smoke show that I picked her, even though she was a bitch and a cunt, over the super nice other girl that's very attractive too. That's how good Yennefer looks. But I would say Miranda's probably hotter than her, if that's her name.
Young Lara Croft from all the new Tomb Raiders, dude. Like, she's fucking smoking, dude. Like,
she's 16 perfect. Years old in the first one. So just so you know what you're talking about.
I mean, the third one.
No, I'm totally kidding, dude. I think she's 18.
She better be.
I hope she's 18 because it's child abuse. That the beginning of that first game, I know, they beat right? the shit out of that girl, dude.
Yeah. I think she's like early 20s, isn't she? I feel like she might be early 20s. I'm not 100.
Yeah, but I think she's also based on a real world model.
I think the actress maybe it might not that Tomb Raider. I don't want the triangle titties.
But maybe
there was an April. I don't know if I ever spoke about this on the podcast, but there was an April Fool's joke for the first Tomb Raider, and it was like how to make Lara Croft be naked. And I was like, whenever you know the first Tomb Raider came out was in the 90s, right? 90s for the PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
And it was on EGM, Electronic Gaming Monthly. And it was like how to get like Lara Croft naked, and it showed you like you have to go into your mansion, not into the real game, go into the mansion, and there's a statue. You're supposed to jump on the statue right next to the pool and dive, do a full dive and land. And the moment she comes out of the water, she'll be fully naked. And it showed like the whole nude Raider thing, right? And they showed like just bars over it. I sat there for I don't know how many hours trying to fucking get on that fucking statue. But it was impossible because like it had like the collision didn't let you do it. But you know, there was no internet. There was nothing. I thought it was real until like the next month comes out. Cause it'll be like, I'm gonna play Tomb Raider today. Before I do, I'm gonna try to see if I can jump at that pool real quick. But that didn't happen. And then the next month comes out and we're like, we got so much hate mail from everyone here at EGM because of, you know, our fucked up. It was an April Fool's joke, guys. She's not naked. But then, you know, the PC version.
Got him.
Fucking Lara Croft, bro.
Man. And even if that had worked, I mean, the graphics were so low resolution back then. Like,
bro, anything really worked when you were like
anything
10,
worked
dude.
Back then, dude. You forgot what it's like to be 13, Bobby? Did you forget?
Seriously, dude. I played Leisure Suit Larry.
JCPenney's fucking lingerie catalogs, dude.
The first Leisure Suit Larry has, like, at the end of the game, you have sex with that hooker or whatever. Like, I was trying so hard, and I made it to the end, and I was like, oh, my God, super ultra-pixelated titties. I was super excited. Had like a little
Did you answer, Bobby? He specifically said you can't weasel your way out of this one, he said.
I don't know. Maybe the what was the one from Mass Effect? She was an alien that never showed her face.
Oh,
that was like the Zoria. Dude.
Why?
Bobby. But that was why, the dude, Bobby?
What was her? Yeah, okay. But what's her name? Come on, I'm playing the video.
I don't know.
Tally.
But yeah. Why?
I don't know, man. She just had like a cloudy face. But she had a great body, though.
All right.
Go with that. I don't know.
That's the dude okay. with
I'm trying
weird
to be creative
armor.
Here.
Okay. Well, yeah. There's no wrong answers because it's opinion based, but you failed.
Yeah.
Cloudy face. I go with cloudy face.
She has a great body, guys.
All right. Next question from Spewbaca. In regards to the quest not playing. Okay, this is about what we were talking about last week. We got a lot of things wrong with VR. So in regards to the quest, Oculus Quest, not playing most Steam VR games, I don't think that's true. I just bought one and also bought the Oculus Link to connect it to my PC. I can play every Steam VR game, but I haven't tried Half-Life Alyx. So I also want to read another one here because someone else commented on this.
Hollow Point.
Mm-hmm. So Hollow Point says, love the show, never miss a week. I have a correction regarding the Oculus Quest. With the USB connection, it plays all the games from the Oculus Store and Steam. I have had mine for 8 months and have played Alyx, Asgard's Wrath, and a ton of others. The recent updates they have implemented have made it simple, but you need an average to high-end PC, and the graphic quality is less than the other higher-end units. You can't beat the price, and the wireless games are actually really fun. I highly recommend a Quest if you don't want to spend a lot of money and want to try VR.
So basically what they're saying is you have to be hardwired in so that your PC is running, Valve or whatever that thing's called.
Yeah. Steam VR. Yeah. So they sell the cable. I don't know. Maybe you can get it bundled, but there's an $80 cable you can buy for the Quest that will connect it to your computer. One of the advantages to the Oculus is it doesn't have light boxes, though. You don't have to set those up, which is pretty nice.
And the hand tracking too on it. And then from what I know, you can use any cable now. You don't need the actual Oculus cable.
Or you don't need the official one that they buy there. I mean, I did a quick search and everything I saw came up like $80. I don't know. I might feel better with the official one anyway. But I think those ones require a DisplayPort connection as well for the Oculus.
I think what I read was you can use any cable now. You don't need to use the official one, but there's something about the official one that works a little bit better. So,
and again, like one of the major selling points for VR for me is the party trick aspect of it, and you lose a lot of the party trick part of it when you invite everybody into your garage or next to your computer. So if you could like take the VR to the party, that has a lot more. Credit. I'm not saying it's better. I'm just saying that part of it gets a lot of points from me.
That's my sensor for my Valve, for my Index. There's one and there's one over there. And like this whole, like the whole living space is kind of big. So I just pull the couch and I have a huge fucking gaming area to play.
Yeah, I think you can do like gigantic if you had the space, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does Alana play it? Does the girl play it?
Gia loves it, but I did notice like after a couple minutes she started getting like a headache. So I don't want to recommend it to.
Maybe you didn't calibrate it for her tiny head.
I did, because here's the thing: I calibrate and I tell her, "Does this look better?" She'll be like, "Yeah, yeah," and you know everything looked great.
Yeah.
Stop touching it, and I just want to fucking do shit. You know? And she was having. She played Minecraft in VR. And she was
dude, like, how lucky are you that you got a total fucking video game nerd as a stepdaughter.
That's awesome. It's just sometimes it's just like it's too much because there's times where I don't want to play because I want to do some of this stuff, so I feel bad saying
oh I know I know, know. Mila's literally right here all the time like now can we play Avengers Lego now what are you doing
Yeah, dude, same thing, the exact same thing. Like, I'll be working, doing something, editing something or whatever, or just browsing the internet. I don't want a game right now. And she'd be like, yeah, can we play Fortnite? Like, can we play on the Minecraft server or blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, give me a second.
Is it a one or two bedroom?
Two bedroom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, she's got her own room, dude. She's got like some dope ass like studio type bed, like bunk bed where like she sleeps on top, but like the bottom's like a desk. And she has I mounted her TV. She owns my Xbox now, apparently. She got her Switch in there. Yeah, dude. Like I was like, oh, you know, like I wanted to play Resident Evil, and because I still haven't played Resident Evil 2, and I'm really, really, because that's my favorite Resident Evil of all time. I really want to play it, but like the Xbox is in there, and I'm like, I kind of have to take this from her, and like, and she's like, it's okay, you can totally borrow my Xbox, and it's like, really? It's
my fucking. And I was like,
but
what's next, Bobby? What do we got?
Next question from JP Diddy: what is your guys' game of the year so far, and what is on your radar this year for game of the year?
So, I mean, obviously Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah, that's on everybody's radar for possible Game of the Year contender. You know, I've been talking about this for a while, but I finally did it. I went through and checked all the games that I played this year. So, well, that I've talked about on the podcast. Now, if it was something that I just briefly mentioned, I didn't put it on there. But so I talked about 45 games that I played this year. Seven of those games were retro, released before 2007, 2008. So I have been playing a lot of newer games. I also talked about two books, one documentary, and one event. But I was able to, I looked at all these games that I played, and the game of the year so far out of the ones that I played was actually Black Mesa, which officially came out in March. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed that game. I mean, it sounds weird to say, hey, that's game of the year, because it's been in development since like, what, 2015? And, you know, it's been a work in progress. But I, out of all the games that I have played, that's definitely my favorite this year.
Now we're talking about games that came out in 2020, right, Bobby? Is that the prerequisite?
Yeah. Well, technically, that game came out in 2020.
Yeah.
No, I'm cool with that. I'm just saying that, like, I haven't played a lot from 2020. I played a lot of 2019, a lot of 2018, just not a lot of 2020. Right now, I would have to say it's Gears Tactics, but that's just because I haven't played a lot of 2020s, and it's a really good game.
Yeah, I would have thought Remnant.
Did you finally get into Remnant?
Dude, I got so deep into Remnant. Like,
how many, like multiple times you beat it?
No, I beat it once, but then we started playing the roguelike version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know there's a roguelike in there?
No fucking clue. I'm just saying yes, like I know shit, but I don't know shit.
Dude, do you know the game? Have you played it?
Yeah. I beat the game.
Talked
about it on the podcast.
No, I remember. So there's a mode where you and multiplayer, you all start naked with $1,000. There's three vendors. You buy the best shit you can, and you go into a roguelike. It's a roguelike. You do the best you can. It gets harder every 6 minutes. You keep going and going and going. And then if you beat the boss, you go back to the vendor and spend the money that you gained. They put a hardcore roguelike right into an already great game. But it didn't come out this year, Bobby, is another thing.
Mm-hmm. Remnant came out. Yeah, it
came out last year.
Maybe even 2018, I want to say.
I think that was 2019. Yeah. I mean, technically Deep Rock Galactic came out this year too, but you know, I don't think it's fair to throw that out there.
We already give it game of the year.
Yeah.
Technically Fortnite came out this year too. It's finally out of early access. Fortnite. Oh, wow. So
they can go fuck themselves.
I know. Oh shit. I accidentally started.
It's a weird year, JP, you know, cause like, you know, a lot of places stop development, and it's just a weird year, I think, overall. But by the end of the year, we should, like, this month, fucking 4 or 5 games that I'm really interested in are coming out in the second half of this month, which half of that I'm going to be off of work. So I can't wait to dig into these games.
I actually got into the I got the Mortal Shell beta, and I did not play it. And I think it ends tomorrow. The beta ends tomorrow, but that game comes out in September. I don't know if you guys spoke about that.
We talked about that last week. JP Diddy has actually been playing quite a bit of that.
Okay, okay. Really. How is it?
It actually, he was saying it's really good. He's played a lot of those Dark Souls games, so I would trust his opinion on it.
Okay. I accidentally loaded it up right now because I was like, what's this? And I'm like, oh shit, it's a beta I did the other day. But I want to give that shit a shot.
All right, we've got three more questions here. Actually, these ones are kind of comments. So last week, Emilio, you were talking about how many times a day you go to the bathroom. So Warconius asks, Emilio, what do you eat? You seem to poop an excessive amount. Is it a full poop each time or little ones? I poop once a day and it seems like enough for me. Do you multitask while pooping, order on Amazon, pay bills, watch a movie?
I do that. I feel like because like I've been there when Emilio's pooping, not in the bathroom with him, but he's kind of quick. I don't know. He'll be like, I'm gonna take a shit, and then 5 minutes later he's like, I'm out, done.
It's because he doesn't wash his hands, man.
Yeah, that's true.
When I
But five times, I remember my science teacher in seventh grade talking about this. I don't know why, but I remember him saying that like, everybody's different. It's like totally normal for some people to go once a day and totally normal for some people to go five times a day. It just totally depends on your body. So I don't know. I never really paid too much attention to how much I went.
I've had a loosely based theory. I feel like a lot of the white guys that I've talked to are always like 3:30 p.m. That's when I drop my eight and a half logs or whatever. And they're just like on a schedule. And then all the Mexicans I know, we just shit all the time, dude. Just like nonstop. Is that how you are?
I'm on a schedule. Like when I'm working, I have to make sure I get paid for my shits. You know what I mean? So I only poop at work to make sure I got paid for that. That's the only way.
This is why you're unemployed.
COVID.
They did cost analysis on you. They're like, he makes us this much money, but he also costs us this much money for pooping. They're like, oh, we're going to have to let that guy go.
It's just ruining our plumbing over here.
But I don't know about what I eat, man. I eat whatever's around. If it's laying around, if it's already, I just eat it. Salami, cheese, like things that you don't have to prepare, just stuff in your mouth. That's what I eat mostly. And yes, I'm always on my phone. I'm on my phone the whole time.
A doctor once told me that was bad. So I don't know. I've tried not to do that. Like being on your phone while you're on the can. That's all anyone ever does, right? Like,
what else are you supposed to do?
All my news is when I'm taking a shit. That's like, I walk out of the toilet like super fucking, babe, did you know?
There's not just that too, but if I don't have something to read, I can't relax. So like if I'm like in a strange environment, I'll grab like a shampoo bottle and I will start reading ingredients.
Classic, classic.
Yeah.
A shampoo. For some reason, when you said a strange environment, I thought like a public restroom, but I don't know. Maybe you were thinking someone else's house.
Yeah, somebody else's house.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Another comment regarding last week. So we were asking, or we were wondering about the immunity. Like now that you've had the coronavirus, are you immune to it? So this is from Bevo. He said, I just started this week's podcast. I'm an actual doctor. If anyone has any general questions, I've been hearing from the experts that the most likely case is between several months to 1 to 2 years of slowly decreasing immunity after infection. A lot of this is guesswork based on decreasing immunity levels in previously infected people over the last few months, combined with what we know about reinfection from other coronaviruses. We don't actually know the true answer because no one has been infected long enough to know for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read an article that Spain, the government of Spain, did a study on their population, and only 5% of people who had contracted COVID made antibodies for the next go around. So I don't know how good their science is, but hopefully the country of Spain does okay, but still, if only 5% of us are immune from now on, like, fuck, dude. This might be a new way of life, man.
Because I got sick back in January, or like, I forgot when, like December or January, like really sick, like fever, like I felt like shit. I was in bed like 3-4 days, and it was one of the most fucked up flus ever. For me, it was just like, this is really fucked up flu. I got it from Alana. She got it from work. So like, there's a part of me that just makes like, hopefully, I'm like, hopefully that was it. Maybe I did get it, and that was my, and that's it. So on next Friday, I got my antibody test. The Red Cross is doing the thing right now. If you go to the Red Cross, donate blood, they'll do an antibody test for you for free.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So they're testing for antibodies for COVID?
For COVID, yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's not a, they aren't testing to see if you actually have it. They're testing to see if you have the antibodies for it.
Yeah, only the antibodies, yeah. Okay. I did a COVID test, but the swab in the mouth here in LA, you just sign up the next day, you can go do it. You just drive up, they give you a fucking cotton swab, check your shit. They'll tell you in 48 hours if you have it or not. And that's when I came to San Diego. I found I didn't have it, so I made sure that I didn't go anywhere before I came to San Diego. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like I did that. And now I'm thinking like, oh, I'm gonna try to do the antibody test, see if there's any and like anything there, and I can just be like, you know, more stress free from this shit.
Yeah, I wasn't able to get a test, man. Not through my hospital, at least. There's a bunch of clinics all around here, and they're very confusing. They're like, oh, it's gonna be $100 for this, $20 for that, $40 for this. Like, it's kind of weird how they do the pricing on it.
Yeah.
But what's weird is my girlfriend was able to get a test. I think it's because she told him like, oh, I work with kids or something like that. So they tested her, and then she got the results like in 2 days, which was super quick. Like even the clinics that I was looking at, they were saying like, oh yeah, we're backed up. It's going to be like 10 days. I don't know. I'm sure.
Yeah, got ours in 40 minutes, dude.
That's crazy. They must've just done it right there on the spot.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did it right there on the spot. It's got, if you want to do it still, Bobby, I think you're fine now. But if you want to do it still, it's right next to your house. It's called COVID Clinic. You just drive up and they just do it.
They do it while you're in the car?
They do it in the car.
Because you just have to swab your nose.
Yeah, they just swab your nose and you drive off and they email you 30 to 40 minutes later.
Mm-hmm. It's not just like swab your nose. They're supposed to put it all the way fucking.
Well,
I keep hearing that.
When they first did the test, like they used to put it 6 inches up your nose, but now a lot of the tests you don't have to do it that far.
Yeah, dude, that's six inches up your nose is death, dude. There's no way over 6 inches.
Tickles your brain. No COVID for you.
Yeah.
No, I just do this swab. They tell you 10 seconds each lip, fucking back of your throat and your tongue. And then you dump it in a canister that has a little bit of liquid, shake it up. And then there's like trash cans outside. You just throw them in those trash cans and that's it. Mm-hmm. They're collected that day. 48 hours later, you get results. That's because, you know, we have 4 million people in LA. And I think we're one of the cities in California that are most infected. So, yeah.
I'm curious, guys, as listeners on your end, audio quality wise and all that, how are these remote podcasts sounding? Obviously, they're not sounding as good. How terrible is it? How good is it? Like and subscribe and leave your comments below.
I was having difficulties with my mic earlier. That's why I wasn't when you were like, do you want to be a part of it? So I was on Discord jumping that back and forth. And then every 5 minutes, people were like, your mic's going to shit, dude. So that's why I was like, fuck it. I'm not going to do it. And then after I restarted everything, I guess it works now. Hmm. So I was kind of scared.
All right. The last question, this is more of a comment, I found in our Steam group. So don't post in our Steam group because nobody will ever find it. I happened to come across it because I was trying to find a curator page, and they make that really hard to find, by the way.
Dude, it's always pancakes. It's this one guy, and he will not make the jump to Discord.
Got to get on Discord, man. That's where we're all at. But I'm glad I found this comment. I'm a few weeks late on it. He posted this back in June.
You're 33 years yelly on the comments on this movie, Bobby, so it's okay.
He says, Bobby, I agree with your take on The Exorcist. So this, I think this was three episodes ago when I was talking about The Exorcist. By the way, I think Friedkin is a very underrated and overlooked director. Just watched his 1977 film Sorcerer last night for the first time. Not the best film, but you can see he is a masterful director and did some amazing work throughout. If you have not seen it, you might want to add it to your list. Anyway, love the podcast. Keep it up and great work, you too. So thank you, man. I'm glad you liked my take on The Exorcist. And if you have never seen an interview with William Friedkin, look at one on YouTube. The guy's a fucking maniac. He's like your typical 70s director, man. He's a monster. And there's a really good interview where he talks about the Exorcist 2. That one actually took place in 2013. But look at like his ones from the 70s, dude. He's wearing those like two-toned like glasses, like that like feathered mullet. And he's just like, you'd think he'd be on a whole bunch of cocaine. Maybe he is, but he certainly acts like it. And he's definitely your typical director that's just like, you hear about the horror stories about like they went through on The Exorcist, like breaking Linda Blair's back on that scene where she's flipping up and down. Cause you know, in the 70s, it had to be real. It had to be visceral. They actually hit each other, you know, but I did watch Sorcerer on your recommendation, man. And it was a great movie. I mean, it's got Roy Scheider, the dude from Jaws, in it. And, God, dude, that the scene on the bridge with the truck was just so intense. I can see why that's not his most popular film though, because Sorcerer, it's like, you have no idea why the movie's called Sorcerer. I looked it up, and it's because one of the trucks is named Sorcerer. But the name makes you think like, oh, maybe it has to do with like sorcerers or mysticism or something like magic. But no, it has absolutely nothing to do with that. The beginning is also really all over the place. Like those first vignettes, like it's very scattered. There's no like fade. So you don't really know that like you're jumping from one location to the other than the lower third telling you, but it all seems kind of jumbled together. But once the action goes, like that movie was really good. And yeah, dude, he's an insane director. Everybody knows The Exorcist. Everyone's probably seen French Connection if you're like really into movies. And then Sorcerer, I had honestly never even heard of. Another movie by him that is pretty out there, but you know, maybe give it a shot, is called Cruising from 1980. And that is Al Pacino plays a cop who has to go undercover in New York's gay S&M scene to solve a crime. And as one does. And it's pretty explicit. And it's William Friedkin, man, the maniac. So like you know what you're getting into. I'll probably watch that one again soon. But yeah, man, thanks for your comments. That's awesome. Always love Ray, talking did movies.
Ray, there's no way you could do a pop culture podcast and not cover Watchmen on HBO. Did you watch that?
That's actually the next one that's on my list to watch, dude.
It might be the best single because there's no second season on purpose. Yeah. Like mm-hmm. The director's like, we nailed it. Why would we do a second season? It is the best single season of anything I've ever seen.
Yeah. Like I've heard how great it is. And that's, I just finished Crashing. I don't know if you ever watched Crashing on HBO, the Judd Apatow show. Well, it's written by Pete Holmes, but. Judd Apatow produces it and writes on the episodes, and I just finished that yesterday. And my next one was I'm doing Watchmen, and I'm also doing the show called Barry. I don't know if you ever watched Barry.
No,
oh, yeah, with Bill Hader. Oh. I've heard that's with
really
Bill
good. Hader. Oh, I've yeah. heard it's really good. Sam yeah. watched the whole thing. Yeah,
yeah. So I want to watch that too. So those are my next shows, which will start either tonight or you know, or tomorrow or whatever fucking day. You know, I can do whatever.
Good luck on Watchmen, dude. If you were anything like me. You're not going to be able to stop.
I'll That's probably end up watching it. Like I'm excited for The Boys to start soon. Like in some, well,
I don't know. How good was that trailer, dude?
Dude, I can't wait. I'm excited.
They didn't give anything away and they got mm-hmm. everybody excited. Yeah. It's the best trailer.
Yeah. I can't wait for that. It's so good. I started rewatching it and I was like, why am I wasting my time rewatching it? Let me go, you know, watch something else. And so that's why I'm going to start watching.
Bobby, have you seen The Boys?
No, I have not.
Dude,
it's probably the best thing Amazon's ever put out.
Mm-hmm. Really good. Really fucked up. Yeah, superheroes.
I've heard really good things about it. I just got a tough time with TV. You know, like I actually.
I don't know why, dude. Why do movies get more clout just because it's a different format?
Because they're like way better, and they do it all in like an hour.
Is that true though? I don't know if that's
100% true, man. Movies have that natural birth, life, death cycle, dude. Like an hour and a half, 2 hours, boom, you're done with it. TV shows are all about keeping people employed for the most part. It's only until recently in like Game of Thrones.
Depends
like
on the show, dude. I think that things that's all changed, dude. You're talking about network television from 15 years ago.
Yeah, but still
now we're talking about
I know, yeah. I mean that has gotten better ever since Game of Thrones because everyone was blown away. It's like, oh my god, he killed off the main character or this guy who was a pretty big part, and that blew everyone's mind, and so everyone started doing the same thing. But I mean the problem that TV shows have though is that you're in for what, an hour an episode, 42 minute runtime usually, and you got like 10 episodes a season. It's a lot of time, dude. It's a lot of time.
It's a lot of time.
And you forget it, man. Like you forget most of it, and most of it's not really even worth remembering. I mean, you remember kind of the important stuff, but it just, I don't know, man. I agree. Serialized shows. And I recently, when I had some free time, I watched, it wasn't very good. I was disappointed, but Ash vs. Evil Dead, I watched the first season of that, and that was...
I thought it was fun.
It was fun, but it was totally like, we're off to do this thing, and these are our adventures along the way. And like, it was kind of cool, but it didn't... in a way, it almost felt like old television where everything's back to the status quo at the end. But I don't know. I guess it was kind of like one long story, but I don't know. It just didn't... I'm not watching the second season. Did not hook me.
You're also talking about something developed by FX and wasn't even like their premiere show or anything like that. Like,
well, FX,
if you watch something like
Anarchy, FX,
I'm not saying they don't do good writing or anything like that. All I'm saying is like, you're not talking about the premiere stuff. Like The Boys, I would say is premiere stuff. Game of Thrones is premiere stuff. There are some shows that are transcending shows, but yeah, I see what you're saying, Bobby, is like you got to fill up so much time that granted two or three episodes usually are throwaway episodes. Nobody's going to remember them. Somebody else wrote them, somebody else directed them. They're just garbage episodes, and that sucks. It happens from time to time. But
well, I mean, it's not even just like you can just cut off a couple episodes. Usually like within the episodes, there's a lot of stuff that you don't need. What I find like a lot of these like really good shows out now is just like a bunch of plot. They're very plot driven. It's like this happens and then that happens. And you're trying to keep track of everything that happens. And then at the end, they just like show a cliffhanger. And so you're hooked and you got to watch the next one. Same thing.
That's what a lot of TV shows does.
Bunch of fucking plot and then like cliffhanger. So you got to watch the next one, dude. It's like a Goosebumps book. They always put that, R.L. Stine always put the little cliffhanger at the end so you'd read the next chapter. So I don't know. I find it a little manipulative and I feel like you can get a better experience just sitting 2 hours at a movie.
Like I totally see that point of, but then again, like, there's nothing fucking wrong with that. I love getting the cliffhanger at the end of each episode.
If you have the time and you enjoy it, like absolutely go for it. Like I've totally been into shows in the past and like if that's your thing, but I can't do it. Right now what I'm trying to do is watch the Clone Wars, and it's so hard, man. The Clone Wars animated one, because there's a lot of like important stuff that happens, you know, with Darth Maul coming back, but there's so much filler in that. But that's like your episodic.
I really
enjoy though in the Clone Wars how they do that like movie tone newsreel at the beginning, like in the Rebellion, like I like that little bit, but it's so
I'm
much.
Watching The Legend of Korra with Mila, and it's the same thing, and this time in something city, and it even has that new newsreel like shit playing, and it's good. It catches you up, especially since you know you can't watch this shit back to back. But anyway, Bobby, I think TV shows deliver a little more respect, especially now. Yes. I think this is the greatest time in TV ever.
Dude, I'm sorry, but Hollywood's pretty fucking dead right now, man. Honestly, it's just and the only thing surviving right now are TV shows, and it's
just watch just The Boys, Bobby. Come on, man.
Watch the show.
Watch The Boys.
How many hours of that do I have to watch?
I think it's like 8 episodes, so it's 8 hours. I think it's 8 episodes.
That's probably about right.
Okay.
But some things, this is not standard, but The Watchmen was only intended for one season. There's no wasted space. There's no filter. The entire time, you're like, yeah, there is that whole, like, I got to watch the next episode. But I didn't know where the story was going. There are no good guys. There are no bad guys. You don't know what the fuck's going on. It's incredible, dude. And it's not based on that movie. It's almost like the Watchmen comic book happened, and then the movie was based on the comic book. But this is like 80 years after the comic book, or 50 years after the comic book. So it's not a sequel. It's just kind of like in the same universe, and that's about it. They sometimes mention the other characters, but that's about it from what I could gather. Anyway, I thought it was fucking phenomenal. And based on that, speaking for Bobby, Ray, and myself, Netflix, and you know what? We'll say TV is better than movies, titties, everyone. Bye. See, he names the podcast, but I get to sign off however I want.
We forgot to say what we're playing next week, though. That's okay.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, you told me about that.